Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! you listening live, and those of you podcasting or whatever, I apologize for the momentary silence. That was entirely my fault. I need a keeper. Somehow or another, I think eliminating the fats and eliminating everything from my diet has affected my brain. And I keep forgetting about this one little knob that I have to turn now for reasons of technical change, which we're not don't bear going into. But welcome the Tuesday night, Tuesday evening, Tuesday afternoon, Tuesday morning, depending on where you are, edition of Head On is on the air. I'm Bob. I'm sorry, that'll throw anybody. But, you know, a little day late, but a dollar short. But we're here. And you are welcome to bring to the table any old thing that floats your boat, has the bee under your bonnet or the burr under your saddle. I welcome it all to the program. You know that. You know the phone number, too, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, Head On. That's the toll-free number. If you'd like to save us a nickel or a buck, you can dial 304-658-3333. And make life a little bit easier for us. Either way, I try to do everything in my power to drop whatever I'm doing whenever a phone call rolls in, because I don't want to burn up your money, and I don't want to burn up ours on hold. And plus, you know, this is conversation radio. This is radio that can't happen anywhere else except on the internets, where there is still some semblance of freedom. So thank you for joining in this evening. I know where I want to get started. Absolutely, I know where I want to get started. I want to get started with another one of those magic 8-ball moments. If I was one of those right-wing yammerhead gas bags who sits behind a microphone and says, "My friends, I'm coming to you with half my brain tied behind my back. Talent on loan from God." If I was one of those, I'd tell you that I was prophetic, that I had some sort of clairvoyant skill. But I don't. It's just a matter of knowing how people are, in particular understanding the fundamentalist, right-wing, bigoted, prejudicial, hate-filled mindset that makes me able to predict things like that. And what did I say? Was it a week? Was it a couple of weeks? Was it a month? Have I said it a dozen times, one time? Whatever. But I know I've said it. One of these days we'll have transcripts and we'll be able to search things. And, oh, yeah, Bob, you said that on May 19th. But not now. But if you're a regular listener to the program, you know that I did, in fact, say it. What did I say? I said all of this schadenfreude out in the for-profit media about how fundamentalist religion, the America's most religious faithful people, aren't behind John McCain. And I said that it was a bunch of baloney. I said that it was a bunch of hooey. I said that it was a crock. And you know what? As usual, I was correct. How can I say that? Well, the story out today. Headline. James Dobson accuses Obama of distorting Bible. I told you that they would rally around McCain. I told you that they would marshal their forces. I told you that, as it always is with any Republican nominee for president, any Republican in general, that the right-wing religion industry will always rally to the cause. No matter how many wives a guy's had, no matter how many pathetic, crippled women a POS like McCain has walked out on in his life, which he did, no matter. The right wing will ignore everything in the Bible to come a-running to the side of these miserable excuses for members of the human race in the form of the Republican Party. Most notably, now, it is James Dobson. It is James Dobson who has said that Barack Obama, Harvard-educated, he says that Barack Obama has a fruitcake view, no really, a fruitcake view of the United States Constitution. Dobson said in particular, and this is a quote, "I think he's deliberately distorting the traditional understanding of the Bible to fit his own worldview, his own confused theology. He's dragging biblical understanding through the gutter. He said that in a recorded commentary that ran today to hundreds, if not thousands, of religion industry-controlled radio stations around the United States that operate tax-free. And he specifically advocated against a candidate, but said, it is all right for me to do this because the group paying for the program is an affiliate whose donations are taxed. So it's legal for that group to get more involved in politics. They are so far ahead of the curve and so far ahead of us. So now Dobson has sent out his little message to his evil minions in the religion industry, the evangelicals who worry, yeah, you know. And he said, Obama, by supporting abortion rights, by supporting the rights of American women to control what goes on inside their own bodies, is trying to govern by the what he called the lowest common denominator of morality, and called it, as I noted, a fruitcake interpretation of the Constitution. A fruitcake interpretation of the Constitution. Hey, Mark Levine, you still handy? When you go to con law class in the Ivy League, do they pass out the fruitcake? What does that mean, a fruitcake view of the Constitution? Here's a guy with a doctoral degree. You know, he's got a JD. I don't know, he may even have an MLM or something. But here's a guy with a doctoral level degree in the form of a Juris Doctor degree who has spent literally years studying the Constitution of the United States, who has spent his adult life contemplating the ins and outs of the Constitution and what that document actually means. And a little pissant PhD who advocates that grown men shake their willies at their sons in the shower so to keep them from getting all homo. No, really, that's what James Dobson says. Show them what a real man looks like. Take him naked into the shower. This guy says that Obama has a fruitcake interpretation of the Constitution because he reads the Constitution as providing the same quality and equality of rights for women as it does for men. So there it is. I'm right again. We're just going to hang another blue ribbon on Bob's old magic eight ball, even though most of the time it says answer hazy, ask again later. You know, it told me a while back. It said, hey, Bob, this is all diversionary poppycock. The Dobsons and the Falwell gangs and the whole filthy bunch of them will go a-running to John McCain. In due time. And they have. This was the dog whistle, if you will, to the people who walk on their hairy little knuckles and breathe through their open mouths and go every Sunday to their mega churches and their fundamentalist bigotry sessions, because it can't be called worship. And torment the tenets of so-called Holy Scripture holler. Dobson said, he's dragging biblical understanding through the gutter. Because, see, Barack Obama took a direct shot at Dobson, and you can tell from the language that Dobson used that it stung. Because he said in an address in June of 2006 to call to renewal a liberal Christian group. Obama said, even if we did have only Christians in our midst, if we expelled every non-Christian from the United States of America, which, by the way, would be fine with James Dobson, whose Christianity would we teach in the schools? Would we go with James Dobson's or Al Sharpton's? And he went on. Now, those of you who have seen that wonderful moment from The West Wing, where Martin Sheen excoriates the stand-in for Dr. Laura Schlesinger, Dr. Schlesinger, Dr. Dobson, these damn doctors who couldn't put a Band-Aid on without killing somebody, where he says, you go look it up. It's great. You can find it on YouTube or somewhere on the intertubes. But Obama skewered Dobson directly because he noted that in chapters of books like Leviticus, it says that slavery's okay. It says that eating shellfish is an abomination. And then my particular favorite remark, Obama noted that Jesus' Sermon on the Mount is a passage that is so entirely radical that it's doubtful that our own Defense Department would survive its application. And that's the truth. So instead, Dobson comes out and suggests that, he says that the religion industry has a right to be freakish. And it does, I guess. But that being freakish is the right way to go. He said, am I required in a democracy to conform my efforts in the political arena to his bloody notion of what is right with regard to the lives of tiny babies? Bloody notion. They just gotta wave the bloody flag, don't they? What a bunch of sick pukes the religion industry leadership are. What's that again? With regard to the lives of tiny babies. Really tiny babies. Babies that are so tiny that some of them just slip right out of their mamas when they go potty and have a little, you know, the miscarriage that they didn't even know happened. Because half of all pregnancies end in spontaneous abortion. We're not talking about the miscarriage with somebody goes to the hospital. It's just a late period. But James Dobson's concerned with the tiny babies, the ones that are two or three cells wide and don't even have toes, haven't even gotten to that sort of micronized version of evolution that happens in gestation, haven't even gotten to the looks like a tadpole part. The tiniest babies that haven't gotten to the part where they even have the gills that they later lose. No buds, no brains. He's worried about the tiny babies. Tiny. I told you that they would come together. I told you that they would rally around John McCain. Obama has considered, or members of the Obama camp have considered visiting Focus on the Family when the Democratic National Convention happens in August. Really? Now, we've already seen Obama go and bow and scrape and kowtow to AIPAC. And that was tough enough to stomach. But if he goes and bows and scrapes and kowtows to Focus on the Family, phew. And it's a fool's errand. There are some people you cannot reach. I understand that Obama wants to reach the people in the middle of the road. The people who are influenced as to whom they'll vote for president by whether or not Obama likes hot dogs or barbecue. I understand he wants to reach those people. He wants to reach those people whose base level comprehension of politics is just slightly broader than their base level understanding of quantum physics. In other words, approaching nil. I understand he wants to reach those people. But there are some people that are dead. I mean ethically, morally, spiritually dead to any hope for change in America, who are dead to any idea of making America a better place. If we are to fix America, if we are to correct and wake up from this 8-year-long sweaty nightmare that George W. Bush has dragged us through, we will have to do it without the values voters. We will have to do it without the Dobsons and his minions and the little toadies who believe that that a wad of tissue 4 cells wide is more important than a child that is starving to death somewhere in America. And if we succeed, we will succeed in spite of them and not in cooperation with them. There are some people in this world you cannot work with. You cannot work with the James Dobsons. His bloody policies. Yeah, what? Because, you know, like I said, Obama skewered him good with the Leviticus comment. Yeah, you'll go to hell if you eat shellfish. Oh, thou shalt not wear clothing made of two different fibers. Nuts! Dietary rules, fabric rules, sex rules. What does Dobson say? Well, Dobson and his minion, a little bowl floater by the name of Minnery, said that Obama wrongly equates Old Testament texts and dietary codes that no longer apply to Jesus' teachings in the New Testament. I think he's deliberately distorting the traditional understanding of the Bible to fit his own worldview, his own confused theology. He's dragging biblical understanding through the gutter. That's code, friends and neighbors. That part, the biblical understanding through the gutter, that's code. 'Cause after all, he's really a Muslim. Where do you think these damned emails have originated? How many times have we proven that the whole blood libel against Barack Obama has sprung fully formed like Athena out of the head of Zeus, right out of the heart of the religion industry? Through the gutter. Well, okay, so the traditional understanding of the dietary rules changed with the New Testament. Okay, I'll give you that, Dr. Dobson. Let's talk about slavery. Because slavery is upheld throughout the entire Old Testament. Well, see, that's the Old Testament. And of course, everything changed with the grace of Christ and his passion on the cross when they drove the little nails through his hands and the feet. Oh, I'm getting off on it again! But what about St. Paul? What about that psychotic, misogynistic, probably latent, closeted man who was so twisted that he had to change his name from Saul to Paul in order to escape into the civilized world of the Mediterranean and get away from the Levant? What about him? Because Dr. Dobson, slavery didn't change on the cross. Dr. Dobson, the Roman and Greco-Roman world and the Hellenized portions of the Levant We're at the non-Hellenized portions. I mean, come on. These people invented slavery. We're chock-a-block with slaves. And so St. Paul, crazy or sane, depending on your view, and I'm sure you view him as sane, Dr. Dobson, he sanely wrote that slavery was okay and told slaves that they had to obey their masters for Jesus' sake. Dr. Dobson, prior to that little dust-up we had around 1860 or so, there were preachers just like you, you hateful old charlatan, who stood in pulpits from Kentucky to Maryland to South Carolina to Georgia to Mississippi, Louisiana, Texas to Missouri and Kansas, and declaimed from the Holy Bible that slavery was an institution natural to humankind and ordained by God. Now, you tell me how that changed with the New Testament, Dr. Dobson, because it's ordained by God there, too. You lying sack of crap, James Dobson, you. You filthy fornicator of any semblance of holiness or piety or sacred spirituality. You rapist of the soul, James Dobson. You tell me how the slavery thing changes. And once you've done that, Dr. Dobson, we'll go on and talk about your fundamentalist view of the women folk. And we'll talk about how they're supposed to submit themselves unto their husbands in the New Testament and sit down and shut the hell up during the church service and wait till they get home and ask their husbands about it if they happen to have any questions regarding spiritual or scriptural matters. Tell us about it, Dr. Dobson. You know, it's pretty obvious to me that somebody is dragging biblical understanding through the gutter. But it ain't Barack Obama. The right-wing religion industry has been dragging biblical understanding through the gutter for 100 years. You know, a couple of weeks back or so, we talked about Ann Royal on the day after her birthday. They were dragging biblical understanding through the gutter then. And that's why she had to fight them. Dobson said, what he's trying to say here is, unless everybody agrees, we have no right to fight for what we believe. What do you believe, Dobson? I believe everybody needs to send me a check. You know, we got a $70 million a year operation out here. What do you think? You think I got a printing press in the basement? You think it grows on trees out here in Colorado Springs? We need those old ladies sending in their Social Security checks. And they only do it when we get them all worked up about the little bitty babies. And Obama being a Muslim and wanting to take the oath on the Koran. That's what keeps me in silk suits and silk undies and the Gulfstream jets and Rolls Royces, that's what keeps me going.
But, you know, I expect religious men, please. I expect charlatans like Dobson to opine on the scriptures,
the inerrant and inspired word of God Almighty.
I expect him to do that. But the minute he drags the Constitution into it, that's when he crosses a line for me. He has no more, you know, this is a fundamentalist. This is a freak who believes that the earth is 5,000 years old, okay? This is a bigot and a racist who doesn't,
we believe in the creation because otherwise I might be related to a Negro.
That's the heart and soul of that. This guy doesn't believe that awful, awful word. This guy doesn't believe in anything that can be concretely proven in the world because he lives in a fantasy land. So how dare he opine about what the Constitution does or does not say? The only part of the Constitution that matters to James Dobson is the part of the Constitution that allows him to operate tax-free, baby! He's one of those people who helped transform the First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States into little more than a life support system for the religion industry. McCain also has not met with Dobson. A McCain campaign staffer offered Dobson a meeting with McCain recently in Denver. Dobson declined because he prefers that candidates visit the Focus on the Family campus to learn more about the organization. In other words, you gotta, the mountain's gotta go to Muhammad. McCain has to go and kiss the ring before he gets the seal of approval of the Focus on the Family. But yeah, Obama has met with conservative evangelicals, evangelicals, as we call them. Why, I do not know. Because they're not going to stop libeling him. They're not going to stop slandering him. But I think Barack Obama is correct when he says that folks haven't been reading their Bibles. Let's go to the phones. Hi, welcome to the program.
Hi there.
Hey, Susan, what's up?
Oh, let me see. Yeah, Fourth Amendment is coughing up blood on the floor.
Yeah.
What a lot of people may not have thought of, however, is if the Fourth Amendment goes down like it may, like it's looking to, all you women and all you women with daughters, I suggest you consider the consequences of a back alley abortion, because you see, Roe is based in the Fourth Amendment. And honey, the freepers will take out Roe. They're probably giggling like mad behind the closed doors and popping the champagne corks.
Now, it's been a while since I've read Roe. How do you come to the conclusion that the Roe is based in the Fourth Amendment?
Roe is based on the right to privacy, which is an offshoot of Fourth Amendment?
No, not really.
Mm-hmm.
No. The Fourth Amendment relates to search.
Surely it is, anyway.
Well, it relates to search and seizure, but like I said, it's been a while since I read it. But the Fourth Amendment has been dying for a long time, Susan. You can go back to U.S. v. Leon, and you can see it coughing up blood.
Yeah.
They've been, for just about for as long as there's been a Fourth Amendment, there have been courts that have been willing to craft exceptions to it. What we have here, though, what we have here is a willingness to do the killing out in the open.
Yeah. And I am profoundly disappointed in not only in Obama for being willing to, quote, go along with this, because let's face it, this so-called filibuster is a crock and everybody knows it. But also in various and sundry liberal talkers who say, but we can get them for criminal penalties. Well, no, you can't, not if Bush pardons them as he goes out the door.
Who's making that argument? That's just loopy.
What?
That we can get them for criminal penalties.
Well, actually, I've seen that on, that point was made on Countdown by, what's his name? The guy who was,
Bruce Stein?
By Dean.
Oh, Dean?
Dean. Yeah. He said there was, it would take out this would take out the civil deals, but there was nothing to take out possible criminal penalties later on. But that's true, but.
Wait a minute, though. Wait. You ever seen what happens when a corporation gets charged with a crime?
No.
They have to pay a fine.
Yeah.
Oh, drat.
And
the fine is usually less expensive than the cost of the litigation would be.
I know.
Okay, slap us on the wrist. All right, we're going to go do it some more now.
But even if they actually went after the people involved, Bush can pardon them as he goes out the door. Oop-de-doo.
Who's going to do that between now and then? He controls the Justice Department. That's like these people, Susan, who say, well, you know, if we should, and the Hilarians are real good at this lately, you know, the hardcore.
The Puma people.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. Puma, isn't that cute? It's a cute little acronym. You know what I think of when I hear Puma? I think of Pete Puma from the Warner Brothers cartoon. Hello. You know, the really stupid cat. Puma. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I think of. But anyway, who's, you know, they say, well, you know, even if we get McCain, if we get a strong Democratic majority, the Democratic majority can stand as a bulwark against the excesses of a McCain administration. Yeah. And who's gonna be the general on the walls of that, strong opposition against a McCain presidency? Harry Reid? Nancy Pelosi? Yeah, Nancy Pelosi, now that she's voted to screw the Constitution, this is particularly galling, Susan. Did you notice that now she's standing up and saying, you know, I sure hope the Senate the filibusters this one.
Yeah. Ugh.
You know, one of these days I'm gonna write off to one of those the supply houses for the theater and film and stuff. I'm gonna get me a couple of cases of those phony liquor bottles or beer bottles or whatever, you know, the ones that are made out of, you know, hard sugar.
Yeah.
And every now and then when I see the likes of Nancy Pelosi that say, yeah, boy, I sure hope they filibuster. That's a terrible bill I voted for. I'm just going to reach down. I'm going to grab and it's just a smash the bottle over my head. Because
Yeah, I know. It just makes you crazy. Can I ask a dumb question?
Well, I don't think there are any, but go ahead.
Okay. When Pelosi and Reid were both sworn in, at the beginning of their term, they both took an oath.
Sure.
Same one Bush took.
Or similar to it.
Yeah. Why aren't these people being impeached?
Who's going to impeach them?
I got a point there.
You know, it's like that Democratic majority in Congress that's going to stop a McCain administration. They couldn't. These people don't have the spirit or the will or the backbone to stop a spitball with the palms of their hands. Okay, and to expect somebody in the Justice Department, for instance, to say, you know, maybe the Bush administration Justice Department, remember, to say, you know, maybe we ought to bring criminal charges against AT&T and Verizon.
Mm-hmm.
And that has a hard time getting out of my mouth without me breaking into the guffaws.
Hysterical laughter.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the best things that the incoming President Obama can do, as far as I'm concerned, is appoint John Edwards as Attorney General with a one-sentence mandate. Fumigate the place.
Clean it up. Yeah, because there's data. There's new data out, and this is particularly creepy. I don't know if you saw this or not, but a study has been done by the Justice Department.
About the liberal buzzwords?
No, about the Federalist Society bias.
Oh, God.
Remember Monica Goodling? The woman who graduated from the Draw Spunky School of Law, the 247th worst law school in America. She assessed U.S. attorneys based on whether they were members of the Federalist Society, you know, that right-wing bunch of thugs. And the Department of Justice Inspector General has a new report that shows that the internship and honors programs of the DOJ were also heavily, ideologically sourced and purified by the Federalist Society. For instance, Federalist Society and the Honors Program, all seven applicants who said that they were members of the American Constitution Society weren't selected for interviews. 27 of 29 Federalist Society applicants were selected. Then there's the Summer Law Internship Program, where 12 of the 13 applicants who were members of the American Constitution Society weren't selected for interviews, whereas 100% of the Federalist Society applicants were approved. You know, fumigate the place. This is going to take years to clean out.
Yep. That's why I want it. John Edwards is good at this. He would be so good at this. All he would need is a free hand and just go in and just clean the joint out.
And he's a former senator, so the Senate would probably just shoosh him right through.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be like when that brand new Democratic senator from Colorado, Ken Salazar, did the intro for. Do you remember this? It's so easy to forget so much of this. Ken Salazar, a freshman Democrat senator from Colorado, did the introduction for Alberto Torture Boy Gonzalez at his confirmation hearings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so maybe some right wing pig licking could do the introduction for John Edwards. No, that's not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
You know, I'll be drinking cheese dip out of the jar again before something like that goes down. And
yeah,
I'll be drinking. And for those who are scoring at home, I'll be drinking cheese dip out of the jar again, like never.
Yeah. Well, that's about the same as me eating lobster 7 days a week without medication. You know.
Yeah.
Not gonna happen.
Yeah. Even if you had the medication, who can afford the lobster?
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I can't bring the little critters home because my children understand now that they get killed in the steamer there at the Kroger. That's why we can't raise our own beef or our own pork or anything like that, because the children would make pets out of them, and the next thing you know, they're in the house.
Mm-hmm. Well, can't you just buy a steer and say, oh, okay, I want a butchered?
Well, no, I mean, I'm talking about raising it on the place so we know what it ate.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, that is kind of a drawback.
Daddy killed it. Oh, no, I've already been through this. Several years ago, I bought a lamb at an auction. And
oh,
I'm still...
well, that was your first mistake.
I bought a lamb at an auction and had it slaughtered, and I'm still catching hell for killing Chuckles. Yeah, the lamb's name was Chuckles.
That was your first mistake, was you bought a lamb.
I loves me some lamb.
I know, but geez, for crying out loud, you got kids, you should have known better.
You know, all done up with marinated with a little bit of olive oil and tossed in that classic combination of Greek herbs and spices and served up with a little tzatziki on the side. Oh, yeah! Grilled in cubes with some tomato and onion and green pepper over skewers. Mamma mia, absolutely. Opa, you know.
But
Chuckles.
You don't go bringing home a lamb when you got kids if you're planning.
Oh, no, I didn't bring it home. I mean, I brought it home, but it was all wrapped in white butcher paper. But they found out about it. Daddy, is that Chuckle Burger? Yes, dear, it is. No, chicken coop. I'd love to have my own chickens here, and know that they hadn't had any, you know, chicken growth hormone put into them or anything. But you know, and my mother growing up here on this same place used to tell us stories about how on Sunday she'd go out and get a chicken and chop its head off and pluck the feathers and yada 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 and gut it and clean it. and come in, and they'd have chicken and dumplings for dinner, Sunday dinner, or whatever.
Well,
and you know,
the thing with
my kids would name them.
Well, the thing with chickens is, when I was very, very young, I was on a chicken farm. And you get fond of chickens right up until the time you have to clean out the chicken house.
Yeah, then it all ends. Can you still hear the chickens, Susan? Sorry, my silence of the chickens.
Then it's those icky birds, and they're only good when they're dead.
Yeah, those filthy, filthy little birds. Oh, how we got here, I'll never know, but we did. But Susan, points well made. So much flows out of this stuff. You know, I called. I got a couple of those. Please call your senator things today. So you know, I called Rockefeller, which was as useful as calling only the first syllable of his name, calling a rock. And I called Senator Byrd. And you know, with Senator Byrd, I tried to finesse it a little bit. I said, you know, listen. Everybody knows that no one reveres the Constitution of the United States more than Senator Byrd. That's right, sir. That's absolutely right. Well, part of that Constitution is the Fourth Amendment. And the Fourth Amendment's under attack with this FISA compromise. And I need to know that Senator Byrd is going to do the right thing by the Constitution and that he'd support a filibuster of it. You tell him that's what we expect here for somebody that reveres the Constitution. Oh, sir, I will. Then I got this girl who sounded like she was probably 13 in Senator Rockefeller's office. Hello, Senator Rockefeller's office. How may I help? Ma'am, I'd like to pass a message along to Senator Rockefeller.
Yes, name please. Address, phone number, email.
Yes, ma'am. And
what's the message?
Well, I know that Senator Rockefeller thinks that the telecoms are the neatest things since sliced bread and that the sun rises and sets on them, but I really need him to stand up for the Constitution and the Fourth Amendment and back off this stupid business about the FISA compromise and the immunity for the telecoms. I need him to do that because he's running for re-election, and I'm a Democrat, and doggone it, you know what? This is a deal-breaker for me. I don't have to vote for his loony right-wing the pig-licking opponent, but I can sure leave his name blank and encourage everybody I know to do so.
Is that your message?
Yes, it is.
I'll see to it that the senator gets it.
You see to it that he gets it. You do that.
Yeah.
But, you know, the news is out, Susan, that Chris Dodd and Russ Feingold have said they'll filibuster.
Yeah, I called their offices and thanked them, and I also called NARAL and NOW. And, hey, it can't hurt. Called my senators. Sent a nasty email to Nancy.
Do what you can. It's all we can do.
Yeah.
It's not like we can catch them skinny dipping in the Potomac like Ann Royal did and hold their clothes until they agree to do what we want them to.
Don't you wish?
Yes, I do. Hey, Susan, you have a wonderful evening.
You too. Love to Agnes.
All right. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, if Jonathan Turley says it's based on the Fourth Amendment, it's based on the Fourth Amendment, Roe v. Wade. But Roe v. Wade is if you ever decide to read it, it is, honestly, and I'm not trying to piss off the women in the audience, it is a terribly written opinion. It was results-oriented. They wanted to overturn the Texas law, and they found a way to do it, and they did it very, very inartfully. But it is the law of the land. I think you could have based it on other things and come out with a stronger result, but it was it's this huge compromise decision. Because, now the Fourth Amendment does say that we all have the right to be secure in our persons, papers, property, and effects. I don't have it right in front of me. Persons, in our persons. And it is true that a woman who is forbidden from having needed medical procedures is being prevented from being secure in her person. So, you know, maybe that's there. So much rides on the line. I listened to Guy James this afternoon, and he was frustrated in the extreme, and Lord God, don't I understand why. heart-rending stuff, what they're doing to us in the House and the Senate. These political cowards of the Democratic Party. The cowards in the House who couldn't be bothered to follow the majority of their membership in the FISA sellout bill. 129 Democrats against 104. That's a list of 100 names that's worth printing and just having handy. Every time you see another attack on the Constitution, why look, there are the people who helped enable it. 100 so-called Democrats. It's painful. What else? Where else? Where do you want to go this evening? The business with Obama and Dobson just was so in my face the minute I saw it that I couldn't not open the program with it. You tell me, is there any point in the Democratic nominee for president reaching out to the unreconstructed freaks of the religion industry? Now, I'm not talking about people who are professing Christians. I'm talking about the evangelicals. I'm talking about the people who worry more about little wads of tissue than they do about living, breathing babies. You know, the Randall Terrys of the world. Do you really want to reach out to Randall Terry's the mouth-breathing followers? Is there any point to it? Do you think, how much do you have to spend to get one of those freaks' votes? And is it worth it in the end? What kind of policy compromises do you have to engage in? What kind of crap sandwich do you have to eat to make them your friends? Is it even possible for Barack Obama to convince those people that he is their friend? Or is that something that is, if we're going to do it, is that something that is better done by we the people? Gently, not like I do here behind the microphone, but to gently say to them, oh, you're happy with the $4 gasoline. And you still got that W04 sticker on your big old SUV. How much is it costing you to fill the tank these days? Do you remember how much gasoline was when Bill Clinton left office and the Bush installed himself, and the Supreme Court installed Bush in the White House? Do you remember how much it was? It was about a buck and a half a gallon. And then it started going up because we got the war that he started and the disastrous economic policies. How's that working out for you? I mean, do you really want 4 more years of that? And ask him point blank, he supports abortion. You know, last night, this is not just some coincidence. There is a reason that last night I've got an email from that goofball Randall Terry, who outright called Barack Obama a murderer. There's a reason that I get that, and that today I see that James Dobson is saying that his policies are bloody. These people are disciplined. They are message disciplined. They are on point, and they stay on point. But they can be confronted, because is there any right-winger out there that thinks that John McCain is going to shoot the goose that is laying the golden egg and do anything about abortion? Because abortion is what comes, is what keeps the little knuckle walkers and the mouth breathers flocking out of their churches to the polls, when otherwise they would just stay the hell home. It's okay to gently confront these micro brains with that kind of stuff. You got to use short, small words, because they're not very bright. You don't have to tell them that you know they're not very bright. You don't have to talk down to them. Just use little words. You do that work. But Barack Obama, there is no point in you trying to do that. It's a fool's errand. It really is. It's the whole thing from the 23rd Psalm. See, I can get all Bible too about there, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Well, just because it's been prepared don't mean you got to sit down at it. And sometimes the smart man is the man who doesn't. At best, these evangelicals constitute maybe 15 to 20% of the electorate. If we can convince them to stay home, if we can convince them that they've been conned, because they have, that they've been had, because they have, then maybe we can get on with the business of cleaning up the mess. Because I know there are those out there that say that they just want to go ahead and let America go into a wheezing, coughing, puking death spiral and let the Republicans just run us completely into the ground, just like they did in the Hoover administration, and you know, in order for America to really see the light. But I can't do that. I cannot do that. And the reason I can't do that is Ferg and Doodle and Loney and Jasper and Markey. Because I've got to do what I can to pass to them a world and an America that is worth having, worth saving, and yes, worth defending. Let's go to the phones. Hi, welcome to the program.
Hi, this is Juanita.
Hey, Juanita.
I myself don't want him to do that, because that man is one of those, like you were talking about before, you know, he's set in his ways, and he is one of those people I never fell for. I never liked him. I don't like somebody that thinks they know all the answers.
Juanita, do you suppose that Barack Obama actually knows that James Dobson has advocated for children to be beaten until they cry real tears?
I don't know. I hope if he doesn't, I hope somebody in his group would know.
Somebody could
reach him, because this man is not an honorable man, in my opinion.
No, if there are demons on earth, James Dobson is a demon.
He's one of them.
Yes. Barack Obama is so eminently reasonable that I can't imagine that if somebody sat down and looked at him and said, listen, Senator, this guy that you're reaching out to and this guy's followers that you're reaching out to, he has said that the way you keep a young boy from being gay is for grown men to take young boys into the shower and expose themselves.
Yeah, I remember.
Senator Obama, do you want to sit down with that guy? Come on, do you really?
Yeah, I remember about that. But he is so narrow-minded. And anybody that would support somebody like Bush, I don't have any respect for him anyway.
No, not at all.
I mean, you know, like Botwell. But I think this guy is so, I think he's more dangerous than a lot of the others because he's so subtle. People think, oh, he's a nice man. He's got the answers for us.
He's a psychologist. See, that's the thing.
Yeah.
He does this bit about men exposing themselves and beating children till they cry real tears.
Yeah.
He does this under the guise of being a psychologist.
Yeah.
How's he got a license?
And, you know, that's based on his interpretation of the Bible, I suppose. But, no, he's a person I've never liked. I think of the whole bunch of them up there, of our Democrats. I think they need a 12-step program lesson. Like you said, there's some people you just don't deal with.
Yeah, there are.
People are just, that's the way they are. And I think Dobson is one of them. And I hadn't heard that he was thinking about going and talking to him or something.
Well, that just came out today, and I find it...
I don't know if you were the one, were you just saying something about in schools about teaching, when they were saying teaching, know about the creation instead of science and all. that they said, well, whose interpretation would it be? Somebody like...
Yeah, that was what that's what Obama said. You know, if we run every...
Would it be...
Would it be Dobson's or would it be Sharpton's? Yeah, he said that in a speech in 2006.
For me, it would be Sharpton's.
Yeah, but the whole point is that we don't need to be doing that.
I know it. But I would, I don't know, these people, they just don't realize. I think a lot of them are very evil.
Well, they are. Well, he is.
Yeah.
And he has a multi-million-dollar empire, and he has a broadcasting network.
Yeah. And anybody that would tell the fathers to do their children like that, you know, that's not something you do on purpose.
No, that's the kind of stuff that when the boy grows up, he winds up in a bell tower with a clown suit and a rifle going, Daddy! Bang!
Yeah.
Daddy! Bang! 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 Yeah. Well, why'd he do it? Well, you know, his daddy took him into the shower and waved it. Because Dr. Dobson said so.
Well, you know, I received spankings, what I call them whippings, which they were, because that was what people thought was the right thing to do. And for years,
I had to cut my own switch a couple of times, and that is a grievous, grievous thing.
Yeah. And I went through years, I thought I had gotten away with a lot of stuff. I said, I should have had more whippings than ever. And all of a sudden, I was talking about it one day to somebody, and it dawned on me that I got too many whippings.
Yeah.
But they were doing what they thought was the right thing to do, and I've done some of that myself, too. But I'm glad I rethunk it. But you have to really be careful about what you do to your children. You can mess them up the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
But I do hope Obama will not kowtow, I guess you would call it. Because, like you said, the guy's not going to change. He's not going to quit criticizing him. He's going to criticize him every which way he can.
Leopards don't change their spots, and vipers don't blunt their fangs.
Right. And, I really do. I'm being serious about the 12-step program because I know that when I went to his 12-step the first time I heard about it and realized that it could apply to me, it blew my mind because I was guilty of every one. I was helping other people, never helping mine, myself. You know, I was doing all kinds of things. I was very much an enabler, and it really taught me a lesson about how sometimes you just have to stay away from somebody, and it enabled me to, my learning from it is that I could stay away. There was two people I needed to stay away from. One was a relative and one was a boyfriend, and it wasn't easy, but gradually through the years I've learned it. I was definitely right to stay away from both of them.
Well, exactly.
They were just pulling me down.
Yeah, just and people will destroy you.
And you have to help yourself. You have to respect your own self.
But you see, that's the thing. The people like Dobson and these religion industry goons, what they do, Juanita, is they make you subsume your self-respect.
Oh, yeah.
And tie it to their definition of your piety.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's like a form of brainwashing. It's like a form of mind control.
It is. It is, definitely. But I think that 12-step program, my understanding of it, and I guess everybody, it's like the Bible, everybody has a different interpretation. But it just really... helped me at a time I really needed some help.
and many people have been helped. Many people have indeed.
Yeah. But I finally realized I'd lived around a lot of alcoholics, and I thought because my parents weren't alcoholics that I didn't qualify to go.
Mm-hmm.
And,
found out otherwise, didn't you?
Yeah, but because I was around alcoholics. that live with us. We had all kind of people living with us, relatives and so forth. But anyway, I learned so much from that, and I saw so many people that their lives was changed by it. But it definitely changed mine.
Well, it appears to have changed you for the better, because I love our phone calls. Juanita, you take care.
Okay, you too.
All right, bye now.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay, and by all means, let's keep things rolling along. Hi, welcome to the program.
Hello, Gonzo, greetings from Toby Hanna, Bob. How are you?
Hey, pretty good. How about you?
Well, I'm doing all right.
Spike, we haven't heard from you in, like, you know, since God was a baby.
Yeah, a couple months. Yeah, well, I didn't have internet for a little while. Well, I didn't have high-speed internet for a little while. I just dial up. I didn't have internet at all for a while also, but,
Yeah, that's the, yeah, that's the stand out on the porch and scream internet when you don't have it at all.
Yeah, when all you have is what is on corporate television, you can lose your mind quickly.
Oh, I bet. Yeah. You feel like you're being again being subjected to some kind of mind control.
Yeah.
And guess what? You are.
Yeah, certain times of day, it's just a specific type of programming. You know, they judge shows all day, and
oh, I hate those.
The terrible talent type programming at night. All the movies are remakes of old shows, cartoons, or movies.
Oh yeah, I was reading over at your RDA of irony at FinnermanWorks.com the other day, and I noticed where Eugene Finnerman had mentioned that there's been a remake of Get Smart. Holy cow! I mean, I guess it was cute. Well, no, I loved it when I was a kid and stuff, but I've seen reruns, and it's very dated and it's very stale. And what's to make a movie out of?
Yeah, it's just an excuse to use Steve Carell and hope the 20 through 30-year-old stoner crowd comes out to see it. They probably succeeded at that, whether or not it's actually anything of substance.
That's a very cynical view of modern movie making, but I think it's also a spot-on view.
Yeah, well, because in all actuality, the creative minds in Hollywood don't make movies. It's the dudes from Orange County that are essentially making the decisions on what goes out there. And if anyone knows anything about Californian politics, Orange County, it should be a shock no one can come up with an original idea. We see that at the political level quite frequently from the far right wing. So, yeah, but, I also definitely had to call today because, by the way, I just know how much you love the mumbling man in the morning. And I'm sure you just got to be shaking your head and wondering how in the world could he ever even get a show again, if you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I do.
It's unbelievable. Hey, I'll tell you what, I think he's an operative for the Bush administration, the way he can just bring in cover and being a well-paid racist in the morning.
Yeah. No, you can name names. It's okay. I mean,
there's more fun just to advertise and see how many people can recognize. I don't even know how people can listen to the show. And his defense was more just like these sounds coming out of him.
Man, that's professional broadcasting, Spike.
Yeah, people would talk about how great he was at radio. It sounded more like Sputtering John on radio, kind of. I don't really know how else to describe it, but...
I was being sarcastic.
Clearly he's really bad. He's almost like Ralph Cramden caught in a lie. Hamana.
Well, the thing is, it's a little tough, and I'm not trying to be a horse's ass here, but rushing to the defense of the Rutgers women's basketball team was easy. Rushing to the defense of Adam Pac-Man Jones. Now you're an NFL fan. Not so much.
Yeah, and the fact his defense is they're picking on Pac-Man Jones. clearly, apparently he really paid no attention to what was going on at sports when he was at WFAN, which is a sports station for the day. So, the funniest part of all is actually 21 hours of the day. I love the network that actually has him on in the morning, but I never tune them in those 3 hours that he's on because, as Dave Attell put it, you know, if he's not on TV, then recreate it. Just get a pile of dirty laundry, put a cowboy hat on top, and just stare at it for a little while.
Well, that, and if you were listening in the car or something, you could take out a tree or a phone pole or something, having your attention diverted to trying to figure out what the hell he's mumbling.
Yeah, well, being put to sleep and just, you know, crashing asleep at the wheel from that show.
I mean, I was always taught that, you know, you can't be monotone. You've got to have some inflection. You've got to, you know, because it's radio and the voice is everything. This guy, yeah, but like he can't wake up or something. Like he's got narcolepsy behind the microphone.
I also love whenever he's in trouble, he always busts out that questionable ranch he has. His own description of it makes it sound like he has sick children, taking care of his ranch for him. You know?
Yeah, hey, kid.
Lazier than Bush, you know, he has the sick kids doing it.
Yeah, hey, kid, hobble out there and clean out the chicken coop.
Yeah, from the sound of it, it's like he's instead of getting illegal immigrants to do his dirty work, he just gets kids with cancer.
But see, now, lest I be misunderstood, it's tough to rush to the defense of Adam Pac-Man Jones because he's behaved like a horse's ass from the time he hit the NFL. On the other hand, however, I mean, and did you catch that story where the woman that was involved with him in the shooting in Vegas where a man wound up paralyzed, that she was found dead in a back alley behind a building somewhere in Jersey or New York or something? Did you catch that?
You know, I didn't catch that, but and this is how it goes with Pac-Man. When you mention Pac-Man's name involved, it's no surprise because of the activities he's been caught up.
You know, but there's got to be a learning curve for Don Imus, okay? I mean, to sit there and say, to have the stuff laid out, and he asks his sidekick, "What color is he?"
Yeah.
And the guy goes, "He's an African American." Well, that explains it. And then to try to come out and say, "No, what I meant
was that it explained the fact that people are picking on him. I was being sarcastic or something."
No, just, you know, there are stories that you don't do.
Yeah, and you know, even maybe the sadder part of that story, the person he was interacting with was the Warner Wolf, who at one time had a once proud career as being like the top TV sports guy in New York. Now he's a token minority sidekick on the Lou Imus show at WABC. And I'm sure he's also not liked by Imus since, he's kind of a Klansman, really, basically.
Yeah, with a cowboy hat.
Yeah.
Instead of a pillowcase.
Yeah, although most of the Klan can even speak more eloquently than Imus, which is a sad commentary.
When you're a professional broadcaster, the whole point is to try not to move your lips while you're talking. It's one of those things I picked up out on the ranch.
God, you know, I don't think we've ever busted on Imus this way before. I mean, there's a lot to bust on Imus for, but this is a new one. But yeah, what a mumbler.
Yeah, it is bad radio. I mean, if anyone that listens to too much radio, you clearly know what good radio sounds like, and it's not the Imus stuff, which is the best part of all. But he gets in all his tries. I'm amazed people can hear what he says. But, I'm glad when I listen to your show, I don't have to wish I had TiVo to rewind it. You know, what was that? My hearing isn't the best, but it's very important for me to enjoy shows to find someone who...
Yeah, I've thought about wearing a cowboy hat during the program, or maybe a nice fedora or something, but it's just not me.
If you get a cowboy hat, it's got to be like the Richard Petty Stetson cowboy hat. That would be kicking it.
But I'm really more of a fedora guy.
Fedora?
Yeah, or a Panama. A nice straw Panama with a broad brim. That really suits me, too.
I'm either a baseball cap, usually a dirty old Phillies cap, or maybe a newsboy cap.
Well, since I'm here in the hills, I've got my Shindaiwa baseball cap. They gave me one when we got the highfalutin weed eater. Shindaiwas are killer weed eaters. So I got my Shindaiwa baseball cap, and people look at it, what's that mean? Yeah, well, it's a killer weed eater. Really? I got, and that's the beautiful thing around here. A baseball cap can initiate conversation. Really? Yeah, oh, I got me a steel. Well, they're mighty good. I got me one of them Huskar Varners. Oh, well, that's a fine Swedish weed eater. And the next thing you know, you're talking about the kids and the grandkids and, you know, the how your tomatoes looking, and it's beautiful. Shin what? Yeah.
That's why when I go to races, I wear old race caps. Talk about good old days. Especially if it's a NASCAR event nowadays, you're bound to be disappointed compared to the good old days.
That or, you know, your fear this, your rumpled fear this baseball cap. Those are always good, Spike.
Yeah, fear this, yeah. But my fitted dirty Phillies cap that looks like it was from 1980, but it's only like 5 years old. That's usually the most common hat. Although
yeah, that's one of those hats that is, can be said to have personality. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I ended up last year. I ended up in the Philadelphia Daily News and the Fox affiliate out of Philly wearing that cap. So yeah. That's a keeper, that cap, for however long possible.
Yeah, we've been told no more monotone in the chat room, Spike, so we'll have to be careful from here on out.
My fellows go. And, seriously, I wish him and Mike Tyson would go at it. I could just do a whole conversation. I know, I'm tired of the way you're always like putting down the black people and all.
Well, you know, yeah, that reminds me. I was watching, what was it, Shrek 3 the other day, and, you know, the little talking gingerbread boy, the gingerbread cookie character, and he's got a voice like that, and I was actually sitting there listening and wondering if Mike Tyson had voiced him, but never mind.
The sad part is boxing just isn't the same without him anymore. You don't even know who anyone is in boxing anymore.
No, but we do know that we do know that John McCain loves the sweet science.
The sweet science?
Yeah, boxing. John McCain's a boxing fan. We learned that out. We learned that from Agence France-Presse yesterday. That's the hot breaking political coverage that goes on in America in mid-June.
No wonder no one watches anymore from Kane's into it. he's in that cult fringe now. But, you know, when I was a senior in high school, I wrote about mixed martial arts. UFC was an early guy. This is my 10-year high school graduation this year. So, you know, we're going back 10 years ago, and I made a bold statement believing that in about 20 years it would be bigger than boxing, and actually it did it in half the amount of time I thought it would take, because I thought at least there'd be some talent left in boxing 10 years from then. But I guess it shouldn't be a surprise if John McCain's into it. I mean, not too many people support the war anymore too, and McCain's into it. There's a trend when McCain's into stuff. On the upside, people won't start becoming Diamondback fans anytime soon, hopefully, then.
Well, you know, with McCain, I'm surprised he wasn't into, come on, let's have a really ancient sport. I'm surprised he wasn't into jousting or, you know, something, yeah.
Medieval, maybe going at someone with a mace.
Yeah, two-fisted Morningstar battling. Or, geez. Okay, this one isn't working. I'm reaching for it, and it's not there.
I'm sure there's more kisses of death to come from John McCain from anything. So, I'm not even totally sold on Obama yet, but I'm the same. I mean, McCain is just such a terrible candidate at this point, and people are just
there's a gap between McCain and Obama that you could drive you know, the Queen Mary through.
Yeah.
The Titanic. And you don't have, you know, for me, I don't have to be, and I hate it when politics is reduced to this, but politics is always reduced to this. When I wind up voting not so much for somebody, but against against the jerk. And the jerk in this instance is clearly John McCain. I think Barack Obama has some tremendous potential. I think he has a tremendous mind. I'm a little bothered by this business of how he's responded to the FISA sellout. And I hope to hell he comes to his senses.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's a little bit of my thing with him too. You know, there's certain things that just it's questionable where he really stood so far. He's really looking where to jump. But I also got to say, I agree wholeheartedly what you were saying about Pelosi. What a joke she has been in that position. And this has nothing. I was actually excited when she got that position at the time that maybe there would be some change. But she's like most of your typical corporate Democrats, and they always just essentially bow down to the Republican Party, and they don't stand up for what's right.
Well, and I was angry enough about all of that when she was selling out last week. But then to come out and say, go get them, filibuster it, Senate, filibuster it. I voted for it. I helped pass it. I helped send it over to you, but I sure hope you guys filibuster it. Go get them.
Yeah. She's almost like the Will Potter.
Well, she's like Granny Adams in the Adams family. Shoot him in the back, Gomez. Shoot him in the back.
Yeah. From what I saw of what went on with that, if anything, Kucinich should have her position. It's a shame he doesn't. He's really at least stood by his core values. And in a way, too, that's why I'm, in a way, disappointed that, well, it was nice Bernie Sanders became a senator. It's a shame he went to the congressman. There's still a few people that really stand for what they believe in the Beltway. When they're spread out, it seems like it's only worse than if you have them working.
Well, that's part of the problem, and it's deliberate. The deliberate watering down of progressive or liberal values. And it's the same thing that happens. Well, you know, it's why the horn exists, because, you know, we've been told for 25 years, wow, you know, there's not enough liberals out there to support a liberal radio network. Blah, 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 blah. And, you know, whether it's Limbaugh or O'Reilly or Hannity or any of those filth jobs. But the fact of the matter is there's plenty of audience. But by virtue of the vast amount of right wing blather on the radio, it seems like there isn't. And it's all perception management. It seems like there's no real honest to God hardcore liberals in the Congress, and yet 129 Democrats voted against that filthy little bill.
There's just so much questionable everything that goes on anymore in the Beltway in many aspects. My personal favorite was the presidential veto of the farm bill. Perhaps one of the most despicable things. At least on the upside, he lost that battle. But
the House now has a veto-proof majority on the Bush administration plans to gut Medicare too.
Yeah,
and that's a case of him doing the right thing. But Lord, I don't mean to denigrate the issue, but that's easy.
Yeah,
it's easy to get that one right, because you can say, well, you know, we protected Medicare. And even, you know, veto-proof majority, that means there's Republicans on board, too. But it's an election year, so they can go home and say, see, I stood up for Medicare because I love Jesus.
To be honest, a lot of true conservatives should be against a lot of the things this administration has done and the Republican Party has done. You know, if you really look at it, the Department of Homeland Security was government getting bigger.
That would have driven Barry Goldwater absolutely wild. He would have been tearing his hair out over something like the Patriot Act.
Yeah. I mean,
that doesn't fall under his rubric of extremism and defense of liberty is no vice.
That's the other thing, too. And I mean, that's where actually I thought it was silly. The Clinton camp went after Obama over trying to bring conservatives in. You know, the whole reason you're not winning states is because George Bush has had Democrats voting for him. I mean,
yeah, the so-called Reagan Democrats. Oy.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the funny thing is, it's the whole debacle and the misguided history of the state of Florida. Yeah, how many Democrats in the state of Florida voted for Bush in 2000? I mean, that's the most evil of all, is the people who have sold out to their own values. The Joe Lieberman Democrats, I guess you call them now. You know, he's so far up McCain's rear end trying to get a VP spot, he could probably tell you what McCain had for breakfast in 1978. it's amazing, though, how quickly power will corrupt many minds. And even if it's just an onlooker wanting to root for a winner. The system is very flawed. And I got to say, the whole malarkey made story about the whole flip-flop on the donation. You know, here's a case where in all actuality, that means there's no tax dollars going towards this campaign. And considering how misguided the money is, by the government in this country, you know.
But Obama got dragged over the coals for that spike in editorials in CNN, New York Times, Washington Post, yada, yada, yada. Well, Obama said he was for public financing, but now he's rejecting public financing. What Obama said is that he would go with public financing if John McCain would go with public financing. Well, John
right.
McCain has tap danced all over, not just the public financing part, but all over all of the FEC's rules for fundraising and funding and money in elections. So, you know, what, Barack Obama's expected to come out and shoot himself in the foot and say, okay, I'll take the public funds because I'm dumb.
Yeah, if you really want to boil it down to their stupid talking points in the pundit media, you know, maybe you could call Obama a flip-flop, and you can call McCain a flip-flop factory, because this guy has just gone back and forth on policy so much. His own supporters don't even know what he supports anymore, literally. My favorite is he's running these ads about how he stood up to Bush and the environment. But meanwhile, more recently, he stood with Bush against anything for the environment. So, you know, here's a guy clearly blatantly flip-flop and getting a free pass from some media outlets more than others, you know.
Sure.
ABC only went after Obama. You know, at least NBC did mention, oh, yeah, and by the way, McCain has a few of his flip-flops, so they kind of made it a little more fair in talking about that story and showing you what you're getting, which I thought was kind of commendable, you know, but there's a few good people there, but...
But it's still a struggle, and you certainly can't expect to get anything approaching objective journalism by watching Brian Williams or Cutesy Couric. No, I'm sorry, not Brian. Brain Williams. To transpose the two vowels there. Brain Williams or Cutesy Couric or Charlie Brown Gibson. No, not going to happen.
The only good thing NBC is going for it is that the people that work for Overman kind of get things in occasionally in the nightly news as well. So occasionally some good stuff gets in there. Yeah, I just, yeah, you know, I think the debates with ABC and the way they cut, when are people going to call them out for being much like Fox as well over at ABC, Disney? You know, sadly, the monopolizers of sports as well with the ESPN family of channels. They're kind of a shame. The far right in this country basically runs the ability for anyone to watch sports anymore or listen to sports. With the exception of a couple outlets. I guess as a sports fan, it's really frustrating having the right hijack so much of the media.
Yeah.
They directly have taken away our recreation escape from politics.
Yeah, well, that's the whole point. There is no escape. You know, there should just be a banner. Every baseball game or football game that Fox broadcasts, there should just be a running crawler. There is no escape. There is no escape. There is no escape. You cannot get away.
Yeah, well, that's probably why I had such a good time last Thursday watching Pearl Jam in concert.
Oh, that had to be fun. Hey, Spike, I need to roll on. The phone calls are stacking up on me, brother.
All right, hey, real quick before I go, how's the patellar injury working out?
I feel like there's a knife in my shoulder socket. So it's because of what I went through with my gut, I can't take Motrin, I can't take aspirin. Tylenol's as useless as a kickstand on a submarine for me. It hurts. It really hurts. And every now and then it feels like there's just electricity running down my arm. So I'm waiting for a package to arrive in the mail with some rehab exercises in it and hopefully start doing those and maybe make it better. But that thing jerked the hell out of me.
I can imagine. Yeah,
I'm just hoping I don't have to opt for the Tommy John surgery. I'd be on the DL for the rest of the season.
Yeah, well, then we can anticipate your return like Phillies fans with Chris Benson.
Yeah, exactly.
Even though it's really his wife they're anticipating. But, all right, well, I was just wondering. I heard you mention that like 2 weeks ago or so I was wondering how it was going.
Yeah, I think it's healing because I've actually got some range of motion back in my neck, but the shoulder's just hell. I mean, I like to go out in the yard and throw ball with the boy and some with the girls. And, hey, Dad, you want to go throw ball? And I can't. Because it's in my throwing arm. I don't, you know, I hope it's not a career-ending injury, Spike.
Yeah, I hope not.
Because I don't have the insurance policy that an athlete does.
Yeah, nor the payroll.
Amen to that. We'll talk to you later, brother.
All right, have a good one.
See ya. Bye now. That's our buddy Spike calling in from the eastern side of PA. Always a fun conversation. Hey, welcome to the program.
Boss, hey, Sandra.
Sandra, how are you?
I'm all right. I know I'm becoming a regular caller to your show.
Oh, I love our calls, our conversations. I live for these. And you've got a fan club, so, you know.
Oh, that's funny. Well, listen, I was just calling about the Dobson thing.
And
with Obama?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he must have really hit him where it hurts because he was a bit vitriolic in his response, but my favorite.
Well, he
was,
compared him to Al Sharpton, for God's sakes.
Well, no, my favorite was when he said the Sermon on the Mount was a passage that was so radical that it's doubtful that our own Defense Department would survive its application. And I'm like, well, you know, I don't know what to make of Obama because I have to say I had a big setback with the Pfizer thing.
Yeah.
But this is hella funny. Okay, for him to be walking on their territory like this. And it's a Negro, too? Oh, no. They must be freaking out. He must be absolutely, they must be terrified if he's making inroads.
They are, Sandra, they are
breathing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they're having kittens with crocheted tails. I promise it. Because no sooner had I started the program and started talking about it than one of these right-wing interview opportunity emails that I get all the time hit my inbox offering me a conversation with this guy who's got like a, you know, looks like, just like me, you know, sunburns under a refrigerator light bulb, and he's got a porn stash and, you know, hair club for men hair. Some creep named Gary Cass, who is out there saying, Barack Obama is not even a Christian.
Well, no, I just think that, you know, like I said, the whole idea of Obama is just, you know, turning these some of these white folks inside out. They don't know what to do, and the sort of constant bang on the fact that he's black is old because, yeah, we know he's black. You know what I mean?
Yeah, got the memo.
And it's like, you know, I'm thinking, well, they're going to have a rough time. Although I'm disturbed by these various polls that, you know, a third of Americans, or at least whites, are still, you know, kind of battling with their issues about race.
Well, I mean, you can measure the degree of hissy by the degree of vitriol being pumped into this conversation. Here's a couple of quotes from Dr. Cass, Sandra. Just dig this. Presidential candidate Barack Obama is trying to pass himself off. Notice the code there. He's passing. Trying to pass himself off as a devout Christian, and in doing so, defames Christianity. See, that's because he's a secret Muslim.
That's because he's a Muslim, right?
Right.
Secretly, of course.
Yeah. Obama makes a mockery of Christ's death and resurrection, rendering it utterly meaningless by saying Jesus Christ is merely a path of salvation and that all people end up in the same place. If you can get to heaven by any other way, then why did Jesus have to die in the first place? Well, because the Romans were assholes, but, you know, that's me. Christians believe Christ had to bear the punishment for their sins, and only personal faith in Christ's death and resurrection can save from eternal judgment.
Well,
I guess that none of that is applying to the 13% that I fall in, but never mind.
Yeah, these people are terrified.
Well, no, but it's really funny because the thing about Obama is that, you know, he's, you know, whatever you want to say about him, he definitely has an intellect. I don't care how many doctors they have in front of their names. These people are Neanderthal. That man wants to put little boys in the shower with grown men. It's just like, what the hell?
Yeah, if I advocated that on the air, Sandra, and anybody, any of the right wing, they'd swear I was a member of NAMBLA or something.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, that's exactly what he sounds like. It's like, hold on, I don't want, you know, they're just weird. I think they all want it up the butt at the end of the day.
I fear you're right.
I think they want that.
Yeah, another example of that. Last night on the Horn Section, John Fox and Peter Godbold and I were talking about the conniption that Bill O'Reilly threw over the Heinz mayonnaise ad that was run in the UK that shows two guys kissing at the end. And it's a family and their children, and one of the children calls one of the guys mum. And so, you know, there was that. And then today I get this email from the American Family Association that says, did you know that they're advocating the homosexual agenda by showing men kissing in a mayonnaise ad in England? Yes, they are. Click here to see the video. And there's always a click here to see the video because
they want
to see the video. They're aching
they
to
see it.
Yeah, they're aching to. I mean, the American Family Association, the Focus on the Family, all these right-wing religion industry goons, they're like prepubescent boys with the JCPenney catalog, okay?
No, it's like, make sure you have your box of Kleenex near and you click onto this. I mean, you know, I am so sick of these because they're so hateful, but they just sort of hate themselves. And I think they, you know, most of them would rather be in a company of men, like, all the time, you know?
By virtue of the way that they treat women and the subordinate, subjugated status that they impose upon women within their fundamentalism, they are in the company of men all the time.
Well, also, I should take that back because, you know, my gay male friends, you know, they love the girls, so I don't mean it that way, but I just mean...
No, these guys have a hefty dose of misogyny working with it.
I'm just saying that there's something wrong with their sort of, you know, how they relate to each other and their sort of how petrified they are of anything, you know, gay. And it's just, it's so transparent, you know?
Well, it is. But, you know, when you hang out with St. Paul, you're going to come out of that a misogynist, Sandra.
But no, but, you mentioned earlier you were talking about Paul. And, yeah, that guy was an MF. I'm sorry. He was really quite disturbing.
Guy was a tent maker, okay? You know, we're not talking about the Coleman tents that you can buy at the Bass Pro Shop or anything. These things were made out of leather. It had to be tanned. It was a nasty process with vile, vile early chemicals. And just being around the stuff would make you crazier than a sprayed roach.
Mm.
And, you know, that was Paul.
Yeah, no, you know, he was, I don't know, I would say he's the original misogynist, but he definitely is high up there on the totem pole of misogyny. That Paul, he probably was a bit latent, too. God, for don't strike me down, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, a bit latent. There's every one of his letters is just chock-a-block with it. You know, his masterwork is said to be Romans, and the Book of Romans is just twisted.
Yeah.
So it's not surprising to see this kind of stuff coming out from them.
Well, they're just sort of. I mean, I don't. I guess they're worried that Obama might, but why is he going to speak to that, what is that horrible organization name that Dobson has?
Oh, Focus on the Family. Well, no, there's no guarantee that he will, but I guess an overture has been made by one functionary to by one of Obama's functionaries to one of Dobson's functionaries. You know, you gotta go to Colorado Springs though, because Dr. Dobson will not come to you. Won't go to McCain. Won't go to Obama. You gotta do the ring kissing inside the compound.
Well, no, but I just don't think that Dobson holds that much sway over the people as he once did. I think it's a big mistake. I also think it's a mistake for Obama to be so-called moving to the center, and if he thinks that abandoning the FISA fight was a slap down to the left, he's tripping, because that's an American issue. It's not a left issue. I want my Fourth Amendment, and I'm seriously entertaining the idea of voting for Nader behind that. I'm really Okay, I won't. But I'm really upset with
it.
Obama
makes you, I am too.
Black father speech and all these sort of, you know, all these sort of right-wing talking points that he's sort of falling into.
If Sandra, if folks like you and me are going to hold Hillary Clinton responsible for her vote in favor of the war, in favor of letting George Bush start a war that has killed a million innocent Iraqis, if we're going to hold her to account for that, and a lot of us did during the primary season, then how can we possibly not hold Obama account to this FISA business and not be total hypocrites?
Well, no, exactly. I mean, I just, you know, and it's, I've been following the FISA thing since it kind of, you know, reared its ugly head, and I'm even more. I think that the whole FISA thing in itself is an abomination, just that it exists, you know, secret courts. When I think of secret courts, I'm not usually thinking about America, but with that said.
No, you're thinking, secret court, you're thinking Soviet Union, you're thinking.
Whatever.
Yeah, 16th century England, Court of Star Chamber, yeah, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's just sort of, it seems to be, an anathema to us, but here we are, and expanding it, and the Democrats, like they did with Alito and Roberts, are the people who are bringing this to us. And I have to keep reminding myself that this is the Democrats who are doing this, not the Republicans. You see what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, and frankly, that's, you know, if you look at things that happened, for instance, in France after the Second World War, the people who collaborated with the Nazis were deemed to be worse than the people who were the Nazis. You know,
you can call it Vichy Democrats. Is that what you're implying?
Yeah.
Or Quislings. I mean, I can come up with all sorts of names for them. And it's really disturbing because, they could have not brought this out. I hate how Nancy Pelosi is running this Congress because she's operating with the advantage that most people don't know what the hell is going on in Congress. But you and I do. We know that she didn't have to bring that bill to the floor. And I'm sick of her wringing her hands after the fact, like she didn't have a choice. It is despicable.
Oh, yeah, you know.
Tip O'Neill wouldn't have done that. Hello?
No, he wouldn't have.
Or even Foley wouldn't have.
No.
You know? And it's like.
Newt Gingrich wouldn't have.
Well, no, I know the Republicans, we all know how they would have handled it. If they didn't want a law brought or a bill brought to be discussed, they didn't.
They would have been all over the airwaves calling the people who wanted the bill a bunch of liberals.
Or just obstructionists or whatever name they can come up with that they've successfully painted the Democrats. But no, as soon as she gets the gavel, I don't know what politics she's been playing, but she needs to go bone up. I ain't never seen nothing like it. Always crying about she's against it.
Oh, yeah, and standing there saying, oh, dear me, the horses are all gone. Wait, I've closed the barn door.
No. She's a disaster. You know what I mean? And, you know, my broke ass, I actually sent $20 to that Cindy Sheehan campaign, man, because I know, you know, it's a slim and none, but I just think, are you kidding me with her? You know?
I know.
I think that she's been such a disappointment, incredibly disappointing speaker. And I don't know, are they going to try to replace her? What do you think?
No.
There, huh?
Well, look what you get. Barring significant action by the people of her district in California or the people of Steny Hoyer's district in Maryland, so you replace Nancy Pelosi. Look who you get, Sandra. You get Steny Hoyer.
Steny Hoyer, he's another one that's so shady. You know, these people are hella shady. And I'm sick of the Democrats splitting up. Because the Republicans vote lockstep, like the Nazis that they are, and the Democrats always split off and go with the GOP, and then they cry that, oh, they don't have a larger majority. You know what I mean?
Right. And you know, if you'll just sit down and shut up and be quiet and quit making everybody think that we're all liberal communists, we'll have a really big majority, and then we'll do something.
No, they're not going to do anything then either.
No, they're not.
This is a big lie that, you know, unfortunately progressives are sort of riding on. They already got kicked in the gut after 2006, and 2008 is shaping out to be, I don't know what, because if Obama is just moving to the center because he thinks he needs to do that, you know, I'm already disappointed, and, you know, I'm not going to be holding my breath for his presidency either, because he's going to be another gatekeeper, and this, you know, it's not going to happen. We don't need.
There's a myth in this country that applies only to Democrats. Okay, it's sort of like the opposite, Sandra, of that I-O-K-I-Y-A-R, you know, the it's okay if you're a Republican thing. The opposite of that is that only Democrats must govern from the center. Because you darn sure can't say that George Bush has governed from the center.
No.
Ronald Reagan didn't govern from the center.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, if a Democrat comes along and starts talking about universal health care, you can't get elected talking about that. I mean, or repealing the Patriot Act or rejecting something like FISA or actually taking the Constitution seriously when it talks about habeas corpus. Well, those are left-wing ideas. And, you know, the Democrats have to govern from the center. Democrats, he needs to move to the right. He needs to come to the center a little bit. So they successfully redefined the far right as the damn center. And, you know, for the people who buy into that mythos, we're screwed.
Well, no, and it's just crazy because, you know, I'm looking at him because I know he's a constitutional scholar, so he knows what the hell is going on with the Constitution. So I just find the whole thing disingenuous, and it makes me think that, well, if he gets in the White House, what sort of center-right a-holes is he going to load the court with? Because you can't put a liberal on. You know that one, right?
Yeah. Oh.
The whole Washington can be all Democrats. When it's time to replace the Supreme Court, watch how they're going to appoint someone who's not liberal, you know? And it really pisses me off because Scalia and all them right-wing pigs, that's acceptable.
Well, wait, Sandra, let's take this little myth out behind the barn and kill it real quick. There's no such thing as a liberal member of the Supreme Court.
Well, okay, right. Okay, there's none on there now.
My definition is broader and more expansive than that. There's no such thing as a liberal member of the Supreme Court because there's no such thing as a truly liberal lawyer.
Okay.
Do you get what I'm going at there? Because the very heart and soul of lawyering is adherence to a very, very conservative process. You know, where no matter how stupid, unutterably stupid, the judge is on the bench, and I'm talking, you know, real room temperature IQ stupid, you still have to bow and scrape and your honor him and may it please the court and all of that crap. And
I mean, just the process of it is inherently conservative.
Absolutely it is.
Well, I'm just saying, though, I just, you know, all these people are sitting around wringing their hands about the Supreme Court, and, you know, I'm not holding out any big hopes about a Democrat. I'm not saying that Obama will appoint people like Scalia, but who will he appoint? Because as soon as he picks someone that's maybe believe in the Constitution too much, they're going to, you know, smear them, call them liberal, and then he has to pick some, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, I absolutely, yes. And see, that's the, not the genius of George Bush, but the genius of the people behind him. Look at the age of John Roberts and Alito, Sandra.
Yeah, no, I think John Roberts is like 53 or something.
Yeah, they're, in terms of Supreme Court justices, they're babies. And they're,
yeah, well, especially that job. I mean, it's all so damn cushy.
Yeah, they will be in there long enough to screw an entire generation of Americans.
No, and the thing is, though, them other people are barely hanging on. Okay.
Right. Well, look, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who's not bad, pretty good. The woman's already in her 70s.
I said she's had bouts of cancer. I know. I mean, there's three of them, apparently, who are really anxious to move along. And all three of them are in that four block, you know, the five fours. And so, you know, because Scalia looks like he's going to live until he's 95. I swear to God, evil lives forever.
Yes, it does, and he will.
That bastard looks like he ain't never going to go, and he is such... I remember reading way back when, oh, he's such a powerhouse intellect. He's an idiot. Did you read that last opinion?
Yes, I did. Well, I read it on the air in dialect, no less.
Well, no, but what in the world... What is he talking about, we're at war? Who's... You know, he was... It was such a...
I missed the congressional... I missed the Congressional Declaration of War, without
no,
a doubt.
Yeah. I've never read an opinion like that in my life. It wasn't based on anything. It wasn't cited right. Just a bunch of rambling of a reactionary pig that he is.
Well, and he got caught in a lie, Sandra.
Well, I heard about that.
He is stone busted.
Yeah,
Seton Hall University School of Law researched that urban myth about, you know, the recidivist. Yeah, you're coming back and fighting American.
Yeah,
didn't,
I know.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like it was 12 instead of 30 or 6 instead of 30. It was, you know, one of those whole cloth things. It was 0 instead of 30.
Well, no, but see, the thing about that whole decision, which is disturbing to me, is that we're just on the abyss because it was a 5-4 decision. That should have been a 7-2 or a unanimous decision. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
And it wasn't, and it's so close. You know, people don't seem to understand just how close to the edge, because they could have easily said, oh, no, they don't have rights to challenge. And then where will we be?
The fascist wonderland?
Well, no, and that's also the thing is that I don't see the Bush administration moving to do anything. They're just ignoring it, aren't they?
Yes. Yes. And still, every night, the White House staff and George Bush go to sleep praying, dear God, let John Paul Stevens drop dead before I leave.
And you know, I would normally say that even if someone did expire, they couldn't do anything until the next administration. But with these Democrats, they probably would capitulate and try to vote one in.
They'd have comfort, because, you see, Mitch McConnell would stand up in the Senate, Sandra, and he'd say, all we want is an up or down vote on this very fine jurist.
Mm-hmm.
We just want an up or down vote. And Harry Reid would go, wow, if that's all you want is an up or down vote, schedule the confirmation vote tomorrow, would you please?
Right, that's what I'm saying. So I'm just, you know, I'm really hoping that these people can just, you know, hang on.
See, and that's so far removed and so far different from from another era of the court. When
the Warren Court?
Well, when Thurgood Marshall was on the court.
Right.
Justice Marshall had terrible health problems, and he wound up in the hospital gravely ill a couple of times. And Richard Nixon had Secret Service agents posted at the door, because Richard Nixon was really anxious to, you know how Nixon was.
Mm.
He was really anxious to replace him. And so at one point, through his ill health and everything, Thurgood Marshall raised a finger and crooked a finger and told one of the Secret Service guys, come here. And he scrawled a little note, and he folded it over and wrote President Nixon on it and sent it to Nixon, and all it said was, not yet.
Shut up. Is that for real?
Yeah.
Oh, see, that's what I'm talking about. Exactly. You know, ain't nobody suffering, ain't fools. You know, listen, yes, all them people are hanging on. Do you think that Stevens, that guy is 86. You know he wants to go.
Yeah, sure.
Souter, I heard, wants to get the hell out, too, but they're all hanging on for dear life because they got to deal with those fascists daily. They know what's in store for us, see?
Yeah, they do.
Hanging on.
And, you know, I guess it was a couple of weeks ago that our buddy Scott called in from Massachusetts for a wonderful discussion about the nature of the Supreme Court and about conservative views of constitutional analysis. And it just to distill that conversation real quick, what we wound up figuring out is that constitutional analysis, when approached from the right-wing side of things, has nothing to do with the Constitution, but rather figuring out the cute legalistic torments of the English language to get around the Constitution. And that's what these people do. And, you know, and all it takes is one. Ruth Bader Ginsburg slips and falls and can't get up. It was Ann Coulter who said that she thought that somebody should slip some cyanide into Justice Stevens' creme brulee. One of them goes, and the country goes with them.
No, I know. And it's the thing is that I don't, you know, I'm sure, like I said, I think they're trying to stick it out, you know, hoping that there's going to be a change in ideology at the top, you know. I mean, I don't really know. And I mean, I'm not going to obsess on the Supreme Court because, you know, it is what it is. But that 5-4 decision, though, on something that's the basis of our whole freedoms is really disturbing.
And then John McCain comes out and says, my friends, I think that decision is one of the worst decisions ever rendered by the Supreme Court in the history of this nation.
No, notwithstanding Dred Scott or Plessy or the Missouri Compromise, come the hell on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No. But that's the thing. He puts it up there with, You know, in John McCain's sick, twisted, evil mind, it may actually be worse than Dred Scott.
Oh, yeah, no. Hey, if how he dealt with the Martin Luther King issue is any indication, he could care less if Negroes were rounded up around the country and thrown back into slavery. But I heard that one, too. And once again, I just thought the complete absence of any historical analysis once again. And because we're bereft of that in this country, they can get away with that stuff.
And that's the thing that I'm still waiting for our side to figure out and start honing in on. Or maybe we're afraid to. You know, most of the Democratic Party's politics are motivated not. You know, we don't negotiate from a position of strength, and we attack from a position of fear. How long is it going to take before we just start doing what we should have done much more strongly with George Bush? And that is to point out that John McCain is not a very intelligent man. He's just not.
No, yeah, it's just sort of. I mean. Every time I hear his latest idea is the $300 million for a battery.
Yeah, he wants to have a federal government. Yeah, but he's a conservative, right? Yeah. But he wants to give $300 million for a battery design.
From womb to tomb, been on the government's kit.
Sure he has.
McCain.
Yeah,
every
yeah, he has.
Every damn thing has been from the government for this deal.
And he's all, you know, he's all now, and he wasn't, he was against offshore drilling. But now he's for it, but only if there's a referendum. But the referendum can be controlled by the voting machines, so he's really for it because he knows that the referendum. Tell me that the people of California, I mean, you're in California, right, Sandra?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A referendum in California, tell me that a majority of Californians would say, yes, we want oily beaches.
No one's going to say that in California. Listen. People in California, if one thing you can say about us, you know, we're well aware of the quality of the environmental life in this state. And the majority of people would be against that. You know what I'm saying?
I hope so. I sincerely hope so.
Schwarzenegger said, that's not, even that fool said that, Governor Boobing Grabber. He even said no drilling, you know? So, that's a dead issue in this state. It should be a dead issue countrywide. It's just smoke and mirrors, man.
And it means nothing to the price of gasoline.
Oh, it's going to go on the open market anyway, and they already hold 41 million acres that they aren't touching. Please, Jesus, give me a break.
So, you know, he's all for that, and he's really itching for his chance to bomb the snot out of Iran. And that's why you've got people out there like his advisor saying, you know, a terrorist attack would be really good for us.
Yeah, and I'm still stunned by that. It's amazing how the Republicans can get away with saying stuff like that because, you know, if Obama, somebody on his campaign had said something like that, that would be right up there with Tim Russert for coverage, don't you think?
Oh, they'd get a rope. they just would. This is the double standard. You know, that fluff piece that I talked about with John and Peter last night from Agence France-Presse that spent six paragraphs talking about what a superstitious idiot Barack Obama is and then said, Cindy McCain always makes sure that John McCain can have hot dogs anytime he wants. What the? Holy cow!
Oh, no. See, I don't even want to touch that one.
And, you know, Barack Obama prefers chili and fried chicken. John McCain, however, is a real American who likes hot dogs and donuts and pork chops. Huh?
Fried chicken and chili, that's not American?
You know. But then they went on to his super...
They put some watermelon in there, too, right?
Oh, but they made it up on the superstition thing because the basis of the seven paragraphs of Obama superstition, Sandra, was that he has to play basketball before every election. Because he played a good game of basketball before Iowa, and he won the Iowa caucuses, but he only threw in a few hurried shots before New Hampshire and Nevada, and he lost those. So now he makes sure that he plays a really rousing game of basketball on every election day. I wish I was lying to you.
You know, that is just so way up north. I can't even imagine.
The shocker was that it wasn't coming from the American media. That was Agence France-Presse. I mean, I've come to read some of their stuff, you know, and not just want to get in a warm bath with the razor blades.
Come on. Yeah, that's a new one on me. I didn't realize. Wow. So is that just sort of playing on to the exotic aspect, or?
Human interest.
Human interest.
Yeah, there was the humanizing of the candidates. Well, you know, they're radically different. One is an old militarist who favors boxing, whereas another one, he's a young appeaser who likes chili fried chicken, kissing Ahmadinejad's butt, and basketball.
Oh, right. The dinner jacket thing again.
Yeah.
God. They're going to milk that one till forever, huh?
Oh, it's going to get worked.
Oh, well, anyway, I got to go, but I just have one more question for you.
Yeah.
What do you think about this whole William Crystal and this other freak who are suggesting that they need to hurry up and bomb Iran if Obama gets elected? Isn't that what they're trying to say?
Yeah, that's they're saying that George Bush will do that if he does, you know, that George Bush will bomb Iran sometime between Election Day and the inauguration if Obama's elected. And what that is, that's code for the so-called undecided independent voters. You know, yeah, because Crystal even said it in the audio. I ran it last night. And he said, you know, God knows there's a million reasons to like Barack Obama. But if he gets elected, then you can look for George Bush to bomb Iran. Because Barack Obama can't be. So that was a way of saying to the independents, listen, we understand, we understand that you may like him and everything, but please understand that it'll kill America if you elect him.
That's kind of blackmail, isn't it?
Sure it is.
But
this is from, Sandra, this is from the same people who 2 weeks before the 2004 election said if you elect John Kerry, we'll be hit by the terrorists again.
No, but I like how he either slipped up or, you know, dropped that, oh, if they use nuclear, Israel used nuclear weapons. Did you catch that bit of it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was a bit much, I'm telling you. Well, anyway, listen, I got to go, so have a good day.
Well, I'll tell you what, Sandra, it's always a pleasure. You take care now.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye now. Our pal Sandra, I love our conversations with Sandra. And let's see. Hi, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, what's up?
Well, I got a question after listening to you and Sandra talk about the courts and Congress all like that.
Sure.
And I was wondering, should we be concentrating more on the congressional races than Barack Obama and that kind of thing? Because basically, here's how I figure: if McCain gets, I kind of agree with Sandra that if Barack gets in, he'll appoint a center leaning justice. Whereas if McCain gets in, he'll definitely appoint a right winger. So maybe we should just really work on a really left, really liberal Congress.
But there's only so many opportunities in the Congress. You know, you've had, 26 Republican members decide that it's quitting time. So, you know, those are contestable, and that can add to I think the short answer to the question, Gene, is that we can walk and chew gum at the same time.
Okay, but, you know, I get the sense that we're being distracted with this presidential race over where we should be concentrating on in the congressional races, because if we could get the Congress to really go left, then it could, you know, the courts can get on the Congress.
But you would, but in order to make the Congress go really, really left, you would have to, you'd have to throw out a bunch of Democrats who aren't going to be throw outable.
Well,
you know, this is most of the focus, as I understand it, is on getting the seats that Republicans are abandoning. So the other problem with that is that when you're talking about the Congress, especially when you're talking about the House, you're talking about very, very unique races insofar as, the race for a congressional seat in New York City can be a matter of a few city blocks. Whereas a race for a congressional seat in West Virginia can take up a third of the entire state. So, it's a matter of reaching people in those individual, incredibly disparate districts. And at the end of the day, it's up to them. I mean, I think Guy James addressed it a little bit this afternoon talking about Steny Hoyer. You know, people are, oh, Steny Hoyer is a great guy. You know, and I've heard that. I heard that on a trip to D.C. a couple of years ago. Oh, Steny Hoyer is my congressman. Man, I love him. He's great. He's going to be great when he's majority whip or whatever the hell he is. But he's not. He's an enabler. He's an appeaser. He's a blue dog. He's a mugwump. And getting rid of him is a matter of convincing the people in his district, to whom he probably brings a whole bunch of bacon, that they want to trade all of that so-called congressional power for a freshman. It can be done, but it's awfully doggone difficult.
Well, I know you and I, we've had our disagreements on how to do this thing. I'm kind of trying to, because I kind of feel like, gee, this is strictly my personal belief. I don't think that the Republicans are going to let Barack Obama become president. I really don't.
Well, they're doing everything in their power. You know, this smear that I started out focusing on this evening from Dobson is a classic case in point. I mean, the nerve of a person who calls himself a follower of Christ, okay? I didn't even share all the quotes with Sandra. Let's get another one of these out here. This is sickening stuff from this Dr. Gary Cass. Obama can talk the talk and even have secret meetings with religious leaders, but he has no credibility as a true Christian. At best, Obama is a deist or a universalist, but according to his theology and his policies, he's definitely not a Christian. And then he goes on. He says, no amount of lofty rhetoric or charming personality can compensate for supporting the shedding of innocent blood or the endorsement of immoral alternative lifestyles. You cannot say you are a Christian while supporting radical pro-abortion and pro-homosexual policies. You know, I'm half tempted to get this creep on my show, Gene.
I would, and just then rip it to shreds.
Because I'd like to ask him. I'd say, you know, if you're going to say that, you're going to be consistent. That's an across the board statement, right, Dr. Cass? Because you know what? There's the blood of a million innocents shed on the ground of Iraq. Now, you've got your choice. You've got your chance. Here you are. Thousands and thousands and thousands of liberals that you can maybe bring over to your side. Will you condemn George Bush for the shedding of innocent blood, or does it only apply to little wads of tissue?
I certainly would. I'm still stuck on this point where basically, you know, the spirit and the tactics, we know all that, but at the end of the day, they've still got the machines. And
well, sure they do.
And I think that it would be better to, but that's me, and you're right, it's up to the traditional, the local races, but I think I'm going to have to start doing some digging to see just exactly how those Blue Dog Democrats really treat their home districts.
That would be a worthwhile piece of research.
I really don't think it doesn't sound. I mean, there's a lot of there's. I mean. I think the American people get it that we either hang together or we hang separately. And I think that, you know, this FISA thing or any one of a number of other things probably irk people in New York just as much as they do in Mobile or wherever else. And I just.
Well, it does if they're non-authoritarians.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you have to at least put that kind of a qualifier on it first. Because, for instance, all of these people out there who said, I'm voting for George Bush instead of Al Gore because Al Gore wants to take my guns. Well, you know, these are the same people that if you confront them and say, you know, look at the Patriot Act. Well, I ain't got no problem with the Patriot Act. Well, the Patriot Act is the biggest single threat to gun ownership in this country that's come along in 232 years of,
yeah. Yeah.
But well, you know, that's all right. I'm just, you know, we just need the Patriot Act to deal with them Tursts. And, you know, you look at them and you say, hey, dummy, in the eyes of these thugs, you are the terrorist. Because you're an American citizen, and they fear the citizenship of this country more than they fear anybody offshore.
Oh, I'm sure. You get no argument from me. I just feel like somehow I guess it's my paranoia showing. I'm feeling distracted. But anyway, well, I just had to throw that out there because I really think the congressional, in my personal
opinion. Well, it's critical, Gene. It is absolutely critical, and you're absolutely right in bringing it forward in that fashion. The trick is, how do you address disparate electorates, either on a state or a district level? And, you know, most of the people who do that are, for instance, organizations like the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee. And right now they're as useless as roller skates on a tank.
Yeah.
So, but there are organizations, you know, Democracy for America, people like that who are trying to work, exactly that angle, and have succeeded in the primaries in unseating a couple of these blue dogs. I can't remember her name, but I think she's in Maryland. Comes to mind, Donna something or another, I believe. You know, they did a brilliant job with that. But,
yeah.
You know, like I said, print out that list of the 100 Democrats who put a knife in the Constitution, and that's where you start working from.
Okay. Well, I'm on it. So I'll catch you later.
All right. You take care. Always good hearing from you, Gene. Thanks for all the hard work.
Not a problem.
All right. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
News Ninja Gene calling from Oregon. And let's see. Hi, who have I got?
Hey, brother. It's Albert.
Hey, Albert. What's happening?
You and Sandra destroyed every topic I wanted to touch.
That's all right. Yeah, have a go at it. There's plenty left for everybody.
Oh, there's always enough outrage to go around, isn't there? So, Dr. Cass, huh?
Yeah, Dr. Gary Cass.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's not a true Christian. Yeah, you know, who does this guy think he is? The Pope, that he can declare who's a Christian and who's not?
I'll just tell you, Bob, I was talking to God this weekend.
Really? What do you have to say?
When this
did he give you lottery numbers? For God's sakes, did he give you lottery numbers?
No, I didn't ask.
See, that's your fault.
It would have been presumptuous to our friendship, like in the great George Carlin, like he would have said. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been another rough.
Trifecta in the third race at Hialeah? No, that's presumptuous, too.
Oh, but boy, oh boy, aren't they, you know, and I can't believe, honestly, for as low as these scummy bastards have been going, I cannot believe we haven't heard anything about Sinclair. Now, I just want to tell you, and the only reason I even talk about it is just to arm you. So when the October surprise comes and all of a sudden that's all they're doing is they're just putting it out that, you mean, they've already put it out that Barack is the magic Negro. They put it out that he's the Hindu and the Muslim and the gay guy, da 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 da. And so now when they come out that he's the crack-smoking, you know, gay sex-having, you know, what have you.
Yeah.
An October surprise, that way it just, you know, shock absorbs that nonsense. Because, yeah.
But so much of this is just reinforcement for the people who aren't going to vote for him anyway, isn't it? Or is it actually getting to those so-called independents or middle-of-the-roaders or, those people I have so little respect for? You know,
you certainly know what I feel about this from our conversations from way back. However, we both know the rules of the universe, and I'm not going to violate that. So, but yeah, whatever you think. Because I'll tell you what, this is the reason. The one thing I just got to understand is I don't understand this. Why would Barack be going through the center? Doesn't he understand the reason he beat Clinton was because of us?
Of course he does.
So, you know, and I can see the game.
Wait. I didn't get to the cynical part.
Mm.
Of course he does, Albert.
Mm.
But the congressional majority of Democrats who came in 2006 understood that they were elected to end the damn war and to curb the constitutional abuses of the Bush administration and quite possibly even to impeach the little bastard. But you know what? We got treated like a hooker that they didn't pay.
Certainly. But however, I think that the really important aspect to look here is the bigger picture. Regardless of what Barack Hussein Obama becomes, it's the movement that got him where he is. It's us. And that's what's important. See, it's just how we think. It's just how we feel. And the more we do that, the more we care, the faster the situation will get fixed. If we sit there in apathy and, you know, just, you know, I'm telling you, I told you, I talked to God this weekend, so I'm full of a little bit of hope. But I'll tell you, the more we do, nothing's going to change. Nothing will ever get fixed.
You know, it's like the homework crap, the report you don't want to do until the very last day before school. You know,
and then you do it and it sucks.
Started, well, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of where it is. I mean, and that's something that everybody's got to keep their spirit up. No matter what Barack Hussein Obama becomes, he can become the Antichrist for all I care. It's irrelevant. Okay, because it's the people waking up that go, whoa, wait, no, hell no, boom. It's that. That's what's important, because those are the eyes that are going to pay attention. You know, because they know what being awake tastes like. You know, once you're awake, you're awake. You know, Republicans wake up all the time, man. And I got my friends there, they got their little stupid issues with guns and this and that and all that other crap. But when you start really talking about them, they're all social. They're all social liberals. Who is? Everybody is in our economic class. They just don't know it. So, you know, you give them a little bit of love and you tell them, you know, with a kind heart, you know, that, you know, in order to ever get anything ever that you really want, we're going to have to join together. So, you know, and I really honestly, you know, back to answer your other question, I don't see any of these attacks really impacting anybody. I mean, I honestly, you know, Bob, I guess, you know, the last time I had a conversation, it was 5 years ago. And when I sat here and had my conversation last weekend, I really saw the movement. I saw the progress. I saw how far we had actually come. And that's a little thing that everybody, you know, memory is a tough one. And I think the clearer and sharper picture you have of the past, you know, you obviously know where you are now. And we have moved in such a direction that, you know, honestly, because we're just moving, period. You know, you got to think, they're Republicans. All they do is they're conservatives. So they don't want, they conserve, just look at it in the laws of physics. They want to conserve movement. That's what they want to do. They just want to conserve it, but it's already rolling. It's going. You know, people keep talking about, you know, I even hear it on NPR. I hear people, you know, that I don't have to make the call because I sit there and I'll think in my head, God, why doesn't, and next thing you know, there's a phone call saying, somebody saying something that I was just thinking. So it's not even just me anymore, and it's not even just you anymore. More and more people that, you know, would have been paying attention to, I don't know, sports or something else, you know, some other absurdity, now they're waking up. Now they're sitting there seeing it. You know, and I don't think, you know, anybody's really fooled by this gas crap, because all you got to really say to them is, you know, it's not going to impact us. It's not. No, it's not. Watch. You know, just watch. And I think that's the thing. I think people get real cynical, and then that's what helps us see what reality is.
Yeah, so like 6 years when the oil actually, if it does hits the market from the offshore drilling off California and off Florida, and gas is $10 a gallon, it's going to be $9.90 a gallon, and aren't you going to feel good about it?
Yeah, aren't you?
Yeah.
You see, but and honestly, I mean, I'm one to pay attention to all the esoteric stuff. I love it. It's my favorite subject. And, you know, in that is all that free energy devices and all this other stuff. Well, I'll tell you what, you know, there are people working on this crap. There are people, and it's just, you know, the engineers, and I know, you know, you sit there and you go, well, it's never panned out before. It's usually because those guys wind up dead when they're demonstrating.
Or the copyrights get bought, or the patents get bought. Yeah, sure. Oh,
exactly.
The great myth of the 100-mile-a-gallon carburetor. You know, that thing started traveling around America, what, in the late 40s, early 50s, that there was a 100-mile-a-gallon carburetor? And it may have been true. And in fact, if memory serves me correctly, it was true. And yes, General Motors bought the damn thing and buried it.
Yep. Well, but remember, this is the old days. You know, that's the old days. They still use the same tactics, you know, from those days. And sure, they're strong. They are strong. We've been indoctrinated with them for over a century, more than that. However, it's not working anymore. They can't pull a Gulf of Tonkin on Iran. They can't. They just can't.
They tried.
They could talk about it and beat the drums of war and try to initiate Iran into some sort of, you know, offensive position. However, I really don't think that is possible. And if it is, it's going to be utter mayhem here. You know, and this is another thing.
You don't. Now, wait, Albert. You don't think that the Get a Clue Morans guy will come out and go to a record burning, and you don't think that Clear Channel will sponsor I Love America parties where they'll give out free flags and food and hot dogs, and America will get into a war frenzy because we like the, you know, we like the go boom fireworks part?
Nope, that I don't.
You have a more charitable view of the American people than I do.
Well, here's my view. It's a beautiful picture. Go Google it. It's called Four Up. Just Google on Google Images. It'll come up, and you'll see it's a four different pictures. Three of them are protests. One of them is a Free Republic war rally. It's one of my favorites, and it's from years ago. Well, we're way beyond that now. We're way beyond 2002, 2003. You know, you got to think of the amount of people that were woken up then compared to who's woken up now. And that's kind of why I don't feel that way. I don't feel that they, you know, that's what the oil companies want. And just, I know I'm branching a little bit, but I'll get it back.
That's okay.
The oil companies want, the reason why they want all these rights is they just want to have these rights because they're not going to be drilling anymore. They want to reserve the supply for the future. So that basically they can squeeze us for as long as possible. Okay? Now, we know that. And that's why all these alternatives, and you constantly, that's all you'll hear. Everybody's talking about it. Everybody. Well, you know, they were all talking about everything else as well. They were talking about, all they were talking about is the war. But see, once you get going in one direction, that's momentum. You know what I'm saying? And that momentum's not going to be overcome. I mean, Iran would literally have to launch a nuclear strike. They literally would have to do something so egregious that everyone would condemn them. And then, hey, you know, they did something horrible. So, and I understand the cynicism. I understand that. However, I think it's now the time to open your heart to all the hope of possibility. I really believe that. I think that this is where we need to go. We need to, because this stuff is contagious, Bob. You know, they talk about our junk DNA, right, Bob? They talk about it. Oh, it's junk DNA, because they don't know what it does in terms of genetics. But, you know, you ever think, you ever look, if you look at the cables that go above your house, they're twisted, right? Because electricity flows in that best pattern. It's the same kind of system in your body. And if you look at DNA, man, that'd make a great little antenna, just like it does on your radio. You know, that kind of stuff, hope and intelligence is contagious. It's Emo the monkey, the hunter's monkey syndrome. It's the monkeys washing off, and the faster that goes, the faster it becomes. And I understand the scare, and I understand the fear, but I think in a way, you know, if Barack's going to talk that hope, then that means that he's got to at least tune into it a little bit.
Oh, I think he's tuning into it, but it's kind of like the guy standing there sort of fiddling with the rabbit ears on the old over-the-air TV set. The reception's not entirely clear because he's got this sort of ambient noise buzzing in his ear from the nuclear industry. From the coal industry, maybe the telecoms, and that makes it harder for the message to get to be fully comprehended. You know, I've got an email here from our buddy Cindy in Washington. She says, you know, as far as going to the center is concerned, a politician who stands in the center is like a guy at the rope pull at the tug of war, standing in the mud. In the real world, one must choose a side to win or lose. People stuck in the mud never win, and will someone please tell Senator Obama this?
Mm-hmm. Well, what did Roddy Piper say in They Live? The center of the road is the most dangerous place to be.
Yeah, sure it is.
So, and
Jim Hightower said there's nothing but a yellow stripe and squished armadillos in the middle of the road.
Amen. I mean, but that's what killed Hillary. That's what killed her. You know, and I honestly, I mean, really, 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 really. Joe Biden, all these guys, you know, in a sense, I never, ever, ever felt their heart into it, which is why they never get support. You know, but we're sitting there, we really are. We're sitting on a cusp, Bob. We're sitting on a cusp. I mean, man, I honestly am hopeful to the things that I have heard just from just people at the gas station. Gas station, Bob. People that you'd look at and you go, yeah, you got a big Confederate flag and like a decal on your back window. And you got to hear them the way they're talking. You know, I do live in small town America. And I guess, the thing about living here is everything is, it takes a while to percolate down to this level. And, you know, it's like as they say, as the coasts go, so does the Midwest. You know, like the Midwest is always wearing the clothes that everyone on the coast was wearing 3 years ago. So,
And it's even just that mentality. But you got to sit here and look at the way people are talking. You know, I'll tell you what, I think George Bush is a criminal. And I guarantee you I'm going to get an amen at the grocery store. I know I will. I mean, you know, and I understand there's plenty of racist morons out there. I understand that. I mean, I completely, completely understand that. You know, I argue with them all the time online. I can't help it. You know, but at the same time, they don't got no substance. They have nothing to say. You know, how many times can you sit there? I mean, you know, if you pick on someone tomorrow, I think this is the role. I think this is what Barack Obama does. I think he lets people pick on him because you do get a sympathy. America likes an underdog. And if Barack, and I think that's what he's been doing, honestly.
Well, he's responded. He's responded to the Dobson business already.
And I hope he does.
Well, no, he already has, and it's beautiful. He said that James Dobson was, and this is the quote, making stuff up when he said that Obama was distorting the Bible. It was in Los Angeles, and Obama said that Dobson made the argument that people of faith like himself, quote, try to translate some of our concerns in a universal language so that we can have an open and vigorous debate rather than having religion divide us. I think you'll see that he was just making stuff up, maybe for his own purposes.
Mm-hmm. Now, isn't he supposed to speak in front of these people?
No, it's not worked out yet. That was the bottom of the story, was that, you know, his people are talking to their people, and, you know, when Obama's in Colorado to go to the convention, that maybe he'll drop by Colorado Springs and, you know, have a meeting with Dr. Dobson.
Let's hope he does. Let's hope they give him a platform to stand on.
See, I know you are, but I just differ with you because I think it's a fool's errand.
Well, all it takes is one.
I mean, these are the people, okay? And I'm not talking about Dobson specifically, but certainly his evil minions. These are the people who have spread the blood libel.
Mm-hmm.
These are the people who have spread the Quran story, you know, and deliberately conflated Keith Ellison with Barack Obama because, after all, you know, they're both dark-skinned. And, well, you know, when you're talking about white evangelical Christians, you know.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. No, they're disgusting. However, everyone sitting in those benches isn't them. There are a lot of people that are in there, and I'm sure you know this from your own experience and your own family. There are a lot of people that are in faith, and they do believe. However, they still listen to reason.
Oh, we've got listeners to this program. We've got very dear friends to this program, who are in the heart and soul of the Southern Baptist churches. And who say that they are there to try to provide a moderating influence to the poison that just gets poured into the ears of people every Sunday, and that's why they stick around, because somebody has to stand inside the somebody's got, yeah, I guess what, liberal fifth columnist, is it? Well, that's too freighted, but you know, somebody's got to fight from the inside and not just be on the outside like me pounding on the walls.
Exactly. But at the same, this is why we need to hope, and we need to encourage them. You know what? I think he's smart enough to know when to play the dark horse. You know, I think McCain, what's McCain talking about? We were talking about that energy earlier. He wants to give what, $300 million?
Yeah, for a battery.
Maybe you said $300 million to get that, or $600 million to buy the patent. Oh God. Anyhow, you know, and you also mentioned something about secret meetings and how that's not American.
I did that. I said secret meetings aren't American. No. Oh. Dr. Gary Cass said he can have secret meetings with religious leaders. You know, ooh, scary secret meetings. Mm-hmm. You know, the focus on the family is one big secret meeting.
Yes, certainly. Well, that's what he needs to get in there. You know, he just needs to get in there. It'd be good. I think it would go over wonderfully. And he would win. I mean, he can't lose going in there. Because he's already lost. I mean, he's lost already going in. So all he can do is score some points. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's, yeah. No, we need to see that, you know, and I tell you what.
I honestly believe we haven't seen the dirtiest of the low yet.
Oh no. We don't even have a toe dipped in the filth yet.
No, it's getting there. It's getting deep, getting thick, getting. Mm-mm.
No, it hasn't gotten as nasty as it's gonna get.
See, but this is what I feel. I believe look at it. The nastier they get against him, and maybe he does a keto or something. I don't know. But the nastier they get against him, the more they lose. You know,
maybe that does in fact have to do with the character of the man, Albert, because the nastier they got against John Kerry, the more John Kerry seemed to deflate.
Yeah, well, hey, you know, John Kerry probably got that phone call.
No, John, they brought out the Swift boats and John Kerry wouldn't respond. They had their convention in New York City and John Kerry instructed everyone, do not say an unkind word about George Bush this week.
Oh my God.
He went windsurfing, you know. He had photo ops wearing what Bart Cop calls the condom suit.
You know, you think about it. Look, he wore the condom suit, fine. Barack Obama wears, you know, this Ethiopian or one
but,
of these.
Yeah, and they tried to make that stick, sure.
Yeah, but it didn't. That's the beauty of it. It didn't. It failed. Their attempt at it has failed. I mean, this is why they're getting so shrill. This is why they're screaming about fake birth certificates and, you know, everything else, because they are continuously losing. It's like they're on some sort of dissociative, and they think they, you know.
Well, see, the reason for the religious hissy that we've focused on this evening is because nobody knows the numbers on evangelicalism better than the people who are running the grift. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And they recognize that someone who is not talking unity BS like George Bush. I'm a uniter, not a divider. Who's not just talking it, but actually trying to live it. They understand that that is going to cut into their bottom line big time.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, it's going to cut into their bottom line more than electric cars will Exxon's. Because if people see that there's a reason to live by real Christian values, really the words of Yeshua, as opposed to the words of a hate monger like Dobson, he dries up and blows away. You know, the Falwell organization's drying up and blowing away. Where they, you know, where this business coming from Gary Cass, well, God Almighty, they would have had, if it had been Falwell, they would have had him on Fox. They would have had him all. You wouldn't have been able to change channels on cable without seeing Falwell declaring, well, my friend is really just a deist or a universalist, but he's no Christian. And talking heads all over the cable. Yes, Reverend Falwell. Yes, Reverend Falwell. But, you know, Gary Cass is not Reverend Falwell, and they can't get him out there the same way.
Well, but. Right.
Because all of these things are autocratic cults of personality. There's nobody to see. You know, Dr. Dobson's on his last decade or so, and there's no one to replace Dr. Dobson.
Yep.
And no matter how hard Franklin Graham tries, he's no replacement for Billy.
They're dinosaurs. You know what? All extinctions happen fast. They're not really drawn out. They happen fast. I mean, why was it, Bob? Only 4 years ago they were talking about it.
Well, I look at that a little bit differently than you do, Albert, because recognizing the fact that the birds, oddly enough, are direct descendants, some say, of the dinosaurs.
True.
I look out the window and I can see this lovely little robin singing his heart out, and you get the binoculars out and you look at his little feet, and those are dinosaur feet. And I look at him and I go, or a cardinal or a blue jay or whatever, and I look at him and I go, well, I'll be damned. Look at that Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Bob, here it is.
And so, you know, and that's what Franklin Graham is to Billy. That's what Gary Cass is to Falwell. They're little innocuous songbirds as compared with the great big flesh ripping dinosaurs that their forebears were.
Perhaps, yeah. Well, the birds evolved. I look at if we're going to talk bird analogies, you know, Republicans in the future are going to be emus. Kiwi birds with an island of, what are they, brown tree snakes. It's going to be the bird population on Guam. And there isn't one. And, well, we got pigeons in Guam. You know, and really, they're done, Bob. They're done. And I know, no, I'm just, you know, I'm just prophesizing. They're done.
Careful there, because the most dangerous snake is the snake that ain't moving that you think is dead.
Yeah, well, the dead snake's the dangerous one. But, you know, seriously, I mean, you know, this is getting, the crisis overall is getting to be too much. How many more natural disasters are we going to have before the election? Nobody knows.
No.
I'll tell you what, those things wake people up. There's another earthquake in Los Angeles. There was an earthquake in the Midwest already. There's been tornadoes that have killed Boy Scouts in Iowa. Now they have floods, and now they did this. You know, and honestly, just real quick, I just got to say, you know, I like how Rush Limbaugh, and here's something you guys didn't touch on. I like how Rush Limbaugh liked to lambast the New Orleans people in New Orleans.
No, I hit that about a week ago, yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Yeah,
no. The different, you know, obviously the people in the upper Midwest were patriots. Well, you know, we got zero deaths versus, you know, how many thousand? But you know, never mind. You know, the devil's in the details for Limbaugh.
I live here.
Yeah.
That water that is flooding those people fell on me, okay, directly, and flooded my basement. You know what I'm saying? But the thing is, you know, for as wonderful as that, it was, everybody coming together. I have a lot of friends around here that have family in Iowa and so forth. And, you know, they're telling me how they're helping. They had to drag down from Milwaukee or Madison or what have you to go help their cousins and their friends and so forth, sandbag. And they did. But, you know, the people in the house next door didn't. You know, and there are other people that have been, I've heard this so many times. People putting their stuff that gets wet in the house, putting it out on their lawn so it dries, and coming back out, you know, to see if it's dry and it's gone. So, you know, just as that reality doesn't really even exist, that's where Rush Limbaugh and all these scumbags are. You know, they're scat munchers. We know this. And everyone's starting to really know it. You know, even the people that don't, you know, and this is the thing, you know, I love how the Republicans, they talk about how they have, you know, there's more of them in America than there are of us. I don't see that as the case. And actually, that's proven fact. It's not.
Right. And the reason that Rush Limbaugh and Hannity and that lot keep having to say, you know, America has conservative values, it's an attempt at truth by repetition, because America doesn't.
No.
If America really did, they wouldn't have to constantly say it.
Exactly. But see, and this is the thing. You listen, you know the people of Russia knew what was going on. You know they didn't know how to read between the lines. It just took a little bit. And, you know, Americans weren't that savvy in the 50s. America had the 50s. I don't see Russia having no 50s. You know what I'm saying? So this is the thing is, you know, we had these, like, 50s in the 100s.
Albert, I'm losing you, brother.
Saying they had these, like, you know, little, you know, dancing and scratch. I don't hear nothing like that anymore. That whole day, that whole thing, that whole neon life is gone. And now, and everybody knows it's not even a sustainable option. And everybody knows in their heart it doesn't exist. And that's the thing we got to push for, Bob. The heart. We just got to keep pushing for the heart. And that, you know, and I know it takes a little faith, but and in the brain, that's what we're here for. But at the same time, with the heart, we open that heart, and they can't. It's the force, Bob. I'm just going to say that. It's just the force. You know, they just can't do crap. They can't do squat. It only takes one of us. And that's the whole thing. And they can talk about terrorism all they want. You know, these kids, these high school kids, man, you're going to see so many 18-year-olds voting. 19-year-olds voting because they don't want to go to war.
You're making me feel like a real schlep rock here because, Albert, I got to say, yeah, they're going to vote. How many of them are going to get counted?
See
how rotten I am.
I hear you. However, as you said this before, I'm going to turn your own wisdom right back against you, brother. They can only steal it when it's close.
Well, that's true.
It's not going to. You know, and I know about that and the collect. I know all that. I'm just saying. How many of them are going to get counted? Enough. It's going to be too much. It's going to be something that defeat will be fully realized by the Republicans. You know, and it might not, we're not going to have, you know, it's not going to be overnight Messiah loving beautifulness, you know, but we will have victory. And, you know, that you can take, you carve that in stone, put it in your garden, because we're going to have victory. We're going to have total victory. It's not going to mean that the
okay, but when we get the, and I got a roll here because I got somebody on hold and I hate to keep people waiting. But when we win here, Albert, is it going to be a victory? Is it going to be a victory that governs from the center, or are we going to get serious about the radical? Yes, I dare use that word. The radical changes. You know, we don't need Band-Aids. We need, you know, Band-Aids are no good on sucking chest wounds. All right.
I understand, Bob.
Are we going to get this government from the center where we try to make the corporations happy at the same time that we're making the people happy? Are we going to focus on keeping the insurance companies happy at the expense of 50 plus million Americans who don't have any damn coverage? That's a question I want answered. And that's not me being mean to Senator Obama,
no.
But you know what? That line from that Washington Post article that just drove me bug sprayed last night. About, you know, 20% of white America fears that Obama will overrepresent the interests of black Americans. No, I recharacterized it. I want the interests of working Americans overrepresented because the interests of the CEO of Bear Stearns has been so thoroughly overrepresented for what, twenty out of the last 28 years, that America can't stand much more of that overrepresentation. We got to have the overrepresentation of working people just to begin to swing the pendulum back toward the center. It's this definition of the center that's driving me nuts.
I've hated it for years. However, your answer is we won't have a choice. There will be no choice. We've talked about this, Bob. We've talked about it many, many times. We are facing, I mean, you know, as I said, you know, we're going to have total victory, but it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be the work is over. We have financial systems in total and utter, they're sitting on a sugar cube. We got an elephant sitting.
Yeah, and we got to change the language too, Albert. We got to quit using these mealy-mouthed words. If we try to impose a regulatory scheme on Wall Street that will actually save Wall Street's ass, and the Republicans in Congress stand up and say, "Oh, you're killing it," we've got to have the guts as Democrats or liberals or progressives or whatever we care to call ourselves. We got to have the guts to stand up and look at it and say, "Sit down and shut up because you're stupid. You're a fool. You're an idiot. You've tried this before. You failed. We're ignoring you. Go away." Sorry, I'm not yelling at you.
I understand. No, you don't think I feel that rage? You don't think I felt that? I know exactly where you're coming from. And what I'm trying to get at with you is there will be no choice. Like, it's not going to be something that they are going to be have any say.
I mean, Albert, I got a story in the stack here where, let me find it real quick. I want to make sure that I get this right. Okay, it'll only take me a second. Oh yeah, Alan Greenspan, we are on the brink of a recession.
We're in a recession.
We're past a recession.
Yes. Well, you know what I'm at. You know what I'm talking about. We've had this conversation before.
Yeah. But there are still very concerned. You know, go talk to Andrea Mitchell about, you know, being almost Appalachian or something. Alan, sit down and shut up. You know him too. A rebound at this stage is not something I think is in the immediate outlook. There are still very considerable structural problems remaining in the financial system. They will remain for a while. It's going to be very difficult. But the U.S. economy was on the brink of a recession with the chances of that happening at more than 50%.
Bob.
You know, tell the guy who's the man and his wife who are losing their house that they're on the brink of a recession. They'll tell you it's a damn depression.
Yes. Oh, Bob. But Bob, listen to how long they've been trying to blow the sails with their own lungs. They've been doing this since 2000, okay? They've been doing this crap since 2000. All they've been doing is painting the rust. That's all they've been doing. And while the rust...
I know. It's just rough on me. And, you know, this is my moment up on the cross. And you guys can have a cigarette on the veranda if you want to. But, you know, I'm in a different place now because I'm seeing this stuff and I got no way to get away from it. You know, I'm under doctor's orders. No more beer for you, Bob Kincaid. No more fat. No more... I can't have a salad, for God's sakes. I have to deal with this stuff straight up, you know, right through the eyeball, in through the ears, and no way to get away from it. And so I watch it, and I wonder, is this the day that I just walk out in the yard and spontaneous human combustion, and it's not an urban myth anymore? Oh, look, Bob's blowing up.
Stop, drop, and roll, Bob. That's all I can say.
I know. Howard, I got to roll on, brother. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Sorry to subject you to the insanity. I'm not a well man sometimes.
No problem. And I'll get our point back later.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Oh, man, I love our conversations. You guys just... wow. Hi, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, this is Jim down in Alabama.
Hey, Jim, how are you?
Hey, doing pretty good. I'll tell you what, Bob, your show is just a great show. I'm lost at words when I try to characterize it, you know?
Well, I'll tell you what, you sure worked up a fan club on the last call, I'll tell you that much. You lit some folks up.
Well, I tell you, you get to a certain point and, you know, you just, like what you've been discussing earlier tonight, you know, what it boils down to, and we all know what it boils down to for the most part, you know, it's propaganda, corporations are making money, the war is a profiteering adventure, we got offshore corporations avoiding hundreds of millions in taxes, you know, and we know what the game is, and the game is corporate news on TV, and religion is a wedge, you know, gays are a wedge, you know. And that's why intellectual people are left-wingers and people that don't have time to think, I guess that's their excuse, are on the right, you know. And anyway, it's mind-boggling, to say the least, you know.
Oh, it is, and that's why sometimes I feel like my eyeballs are just going to start spinning around and around and around, and I wasn't trying to be, you know, a real, you know, nattering nabob of negativity with Albert there, but I feel like I know these rotten, evil bastards, and I know what they're capable of, until somebody comes up and drives the wooden stake through the Repiglican Party's heart, I'm not going to feel safe. I'm sleeping with the garlic around my neck.
Yeah, that's what it is. You know, that's what it's come down to. It's a hard, cold fact. You know that these people like that. You know, they break the law left and right. You know, and it's like when the Dems were in the minority, if they threatened to filibuster, oh my God, nuclear option. You know, and the Dems would cower back. And now when the Republicans are in the minority, they filibuster three or four times a week. You know, I mean, the whole thing is just insanity. But we know the driving force behind it is profit, 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 propaganda, 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 you know?
Sure it is. And, you know, the question lies, you know, I don't know if it's a terminology issue, because if we claim that, you know, if we complain about obscene profits, we have the entire for-profit media arrayed against us, defending the for-profit insurance industry, the for-profit health and misery industry, the for-profit gambling industry on Wall Street, and they all scream communist. When all we're suggesting is what they're doing is taking Adam Smith and just perverting him unto unrecognizability.
No, I'll tell you, it's breathtaking. It's breathtaking. Hey, the reason I called you, I won't hold you up, Bob, but the reason I called you real quick, and you don't mind me changing the subject just a little bit here.
Go right ahead.
I run a series of websites for citizen water monitors, and I have been doing that for about 6 years. And I'm down here in Alabama, and I've got probably about 500 samplers active down here where citizens get out, you know, once a month, a couple times a month, and they monitor various chemistry parameters in their stream, and then they get on the web, and I've built this web where they have lots of charts and everything they need, and they put their data in. Actually, I'm involved with an organization called Alabama Water Watch, and in my opinion, it's the best in the country for citizen monitors.
Oh, wow.
And the reason I'm calling, the reason I share that with you, is we're getting ready to put a bid up in West Virginia to do some citizen monitoring up there.
Oh, that'll be excellent. We need it so badly. We need it so badly, Jim.
15 years of experience, okay? Now, I just want to give you a little detail maybe later, some more detail later. But the Eastern Coal Regional Roundtable is going to be taking bids for citizen monitoring training at the Cannon Valley Resort.
Yeah, Canaan.
Canaan Valley Resort. And that first training session will be in late October. But what we could do between now and then, possibly encourage some West Virginian people up there to get involved and become citizen monitors. It's an excellent, it only takes an hour or so per site, you know, less than that. And monitor some of these streams that may be impacted by coal mining. And
oh, golly Moses, yes. The fights over water, especially in southern West Virginia, Jim, are breathtaking. I mean, if you watch that one video, David Novak we had on the program, if you watch his movie, it'll blow your mind when you see the footage of the water that just turns black out of the tap. It's something we need desperately. You know, we've got people up Printer Holla, whose kidneys have literally been burned up from the garbage that's been pumped into the, you know, and that's the thing, Jim. This isn't above ground, you know, streams or what the mountaintop removal monsters like to call intermittent streams or anything. This is in the water table.
Well, when you blow those mountaintops off, I know a little bit about it, the destruction environmentally to the, surrounding valleys, watershed is very substantial, and I know you've talked about it quite a bit. You know, one thing is of interest regarding the mountaintop removal. It's first of all, it's de facto against the law, because under the Clean Water Act, you're not supposed to be able to do that.
Right, but that got clarified, Jim.
If we start making a list of how many times this administration has broken the law, we'd be here all night.
Yeah, and this was a case of that Bush administration clarification, where they declared that the stuff that the coal companies shove over the side of the hill and fill up the valley with isn't waste.
It isn't waste, right? Yeah. Unless you're an organism that lives in that ecosystem.
Right.
You know, if you can put in a word for the Alabama Water Watch organization, we've been in operation for 15 years.
Absolutely. I'll be happy to. I'm thrilled to. And in fact, first of all, what's the website, Jim?
Well, it's kind of a long name. I mean, it's not real long, but if you want to see my website for Alabama, actually I'm running websites as well down in Mexico. We're getting a foothold in the Philippines, Brazil, Argentina, so we're actually going in other countries.
Holy cow.
If you want to see the website that I've maintained for Alabama, you want me to read it to you?
Go ahead. But also, if you'd send it to me in an email so that I can forward it around to folks here.
Why don't I just send you an email, and then you can post it as a link on your website.
Absolutely. We'll do. Of course, you know we're having website problems, but we'll get it back up, and we'll certainly put it on the website. And also, I will send it around to some folks in the opposition to mountaintop removal around here, because people are doing it to a certain extent, but if we coordinate it and make a unified effort out of it, it can have tremendous impact, Jim. This is just, I'm so glad you mentioned it.
Well, I'll tell you, Rob, I'll tell you this. We are go-getters, okay? I put in untold hours pro bono, and a lot of people in the organization do. But if we get a foothold in West Virginia, we will tear it up and go to town, you know? And so anyway, if we get a chance to do the training and do some of the work up there and help these people get started, it'll be done professionally. Let me say that. And let me just say one more thing before I let you go, Bob. The audience here, look, and I'm one of the guilty parties as well. We have got to dig deep into our pockets and give you guys something at the horn. Okay, now I've been fairly broke. I do a lot of pro bono work, and you know, a lot of people are in situations where their money is tight.
Right.
Well, the bottom line is this, Bob. You're probably one of the best, if not the best, on the air. You're a very intelligent man. Your verbal conversation radio, very unique. You're a jewel on air, okay? And we have to protect that. So, including myself, I would just like to ask your audience, you know, just, and I'm not trying to advertise for you, Bob. Everybody knows how wonderful you are, but let's all dig a little bit deep, you know, something, you know, 10, 20, 50, something, and then you guys, to help you guys move a little bit easier. Because, you know, if you get on a Bob, it'd be like losing a sibling or something, you know. We would miss you greatly.
Yeah, you got to be careful, Jim, because Agnes is going to come after me with the C-clamp to put on my head, because it'll get all swelled up. But I
Agnes is one lucky lady, I'll tell you what.
Oh,
you're wonderful. I'm going to ask you before I let you go. What is your academic background? Just out of curiosity.
I was on the 4.5 year plan. I got a little bit of journalism, a little bit of classics, some theater. I actually had like 8 hours in geology, and a whole bunch of English and literature and stuff like that. So the degree wound up.
The English language. I'll tell you, you have a unique skill, and I guess it comes from maybe talking a lot, but of course, you know, having the genetics to back it up. But you certainly have a command of the English language, very entertaining. And a lot of your callers are just wonderful to listen to. Juanita, a bunch of them. And it's just a thrill. So, I, not to sound like I'm advertising, but I really think we all should dig just a little bit deeper, trying to get you guys a little bit more money.
I really
appreciate it out here, Bob, and I can't emphasize that.
Jim, thank you so much. Yeah. And the fact is, I'm uncomfortable. You know, everybody knows I'm uncomfortable with all of the with standing with my hat in my hand. But there aren't any limousine liberals out there who are pounding down my door. I heard about a project the other day with a couple of millionaires who are going to start an internet-only talk radio network. It's not necessarily going to be liberal. It's going to be some liberals and some conservatives. They've already gotten started. And the linchpin to what they're doing is, we're millionaires, but we're not going to pay the talent. Typical. So it falls, Jim, to the people who listen to this and for whom this has some level of value to support it. I wish it was different, but it isn't.
Understand that. I tell you, Bob, you're one of the best on the air, if not the best. I've heard them all, man. I have heard them all. I've been blogging since 2000. In fact, I was calling for Bush's impeachment in 2000. In fact, I used to get attacked by left wingers in 2000 for calling the Bush administration a bunch of fascists. The left wing would jump on me, you know. Of course, now it's a common word, you know.
Yeah.
But I've heard them all, and I'm telling you, Bob, you're one of the best, if not the best, you know. And for that reason, right there. You know, we need to get behind you and take care of you, you know, because you're taking care of us, you know. So it's a two-way street. Okay, Bob, look, I'll send you the information on email. Keep up the good work, and we'll yak at you down the road.
All right, bless your heart, Jim, and welcome to the chat room, too, by the way.
All right, thanks a lot, Bob. We'll talk to you later.
Okay, bye now. Our buddy Jim in Alabama, he lit people. It was back around Memorial Day, and he lit people up like a firecracker. And for all he says about me, You guys initiate the conversation. You know, I pontificated for about 3 hours last night, minus a couple of phone calls. And I felt like the show was less than what it is when you guys are involved. You guys, please, pardon the sexism. I'm sorry. But he's right. You know, things happen around here that are unavoidable. It's a constantly evolving process. Stuff goes bad, stuff wears out, stuff burns up, you know. Oh, the power surges here, you wouldn't believe. And we have to make equipment changes, and we have to make equipment upgrades, and we're constantly doing that stuff. And to coin a poker term, we're betting on the come. And I just hope that happens. And to all of you who do support the horn already, I can never thank you enough. And for those of you who don't, but who have value, if you're unable to, God, I understand that. I've been there. I am there. There are causes out there that I'd like to support outside the horn that I can't. But, you know, we try to talk about them. We try to promote them. We try to do what we can here. But if you are able, if you're not able, just help us out by telling other people about it, about what we're doing here, because it is special. But it's not special because of me. It's special because of the combined efforts of everybody involved in this. My God, it's a heart the size of the world itself, because it's a heart and spirit and soul that encompasses the very world itself. The listeners in Japan and Australia, we see the clicks into the stream and into the podcast from China and India and South Africa and Brazil. It is the world itself, and it is the future of what we can have. But, you know, we can't have it if we have to self-censor and say, brought to you by Preparation H or GM or any of that other stuff. You're the heart and soul of the level of honesty and the level of candor that happens here.
So thank you, Jim, for bringing that up. I do appreciate it. That C-clamp on my head's going to hurt so bad. Thanks to all of you who participated tonight. Thank you for, whether in the chat room or via email, those of you who blog about the horn, thank you. Thank you to our moderators in the chat room. You're amazing. Thank you to Peter Godbold, to John Fox, to Ben Birch, the hardest working man in liberal talk, who really, really is. I don't just say stuff. Thank you to the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, the bravest, hardest working people I know, who, by partially sponsoring what goes on the horn, help us to keep going. And always, 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 RMR, Gina, it's all for you.